Welcome you in at 4:03 on a Tuesday. It is another edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with, I almost said Mark Dukes. He's out of the corner of my eye. It's Alex Kuhn. Of course it is. It's the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. Great show in store for you today. Our pal Spencer on the other side of the glass getting ready to give out a $50 gift card to Hertin and Stocker at some point over the next 3 hours. John Bonenkamp of Hawkeye Maven and Sports Illustrated set to join us in about 25 minutes as we look back on a big victory for the Hawkeyes at Carver Hawkeye Arena last night, holding Minnesota to just 52 points, evening their Big Ten ledger at 500 as they head into a Thursday showdown with Iowa State in Ames. Special surprise for everybody tonight as the fantasy football playoffs heat up this week. It's not Wednesday. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to join us at 5 o'clock tonight to help you get the jump on your fantasy playoff matchup this week. Tristan had a conflict tomorrow night, so we moved him to tonight. Hopefully it helps everybody. Lots of fantasy leagues run their waivers on Tuesday, so Tristan will be taking your questions at 319-366-1600 beginning at 5. You can text them to us now, and you will jump to the front of the line. Howard Balzer stopping by to preview the NFL week to come and discuss yet another scandal involving the New England Patriots. Howard's going to be with us tonight at 6 o'clock, and we will address the winter meetings in San Diego, a little baseball discussion to keep you warm on a frigid Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. All of that in the next 3 hours. And this program is absolutely free. Isn't it amazing? What a time to be alive. Alex, big win for the Hawkeyes last night. 72-52, the likely final game at home at Carver Hawkeye Arena for Jordan Bohannon this season. Didn't exactly light it up. He didn't score any points, but he did dole out 10 assists. Didn't turn the ball over. Another big game from Luka Garza. 23 from Joe Wieskamp. And most importantly, as we discussed last night with Mac McCausland, the Hawkeyes don't have that 0-2 Big Ten record hanging over them like a cloud for the remainder of December. They're 500 in Big Ten play. Finish up the non-conference schedule. They'll get back into Big Ten play coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, this is the first time since the Big Ten has gone to that 20-game schedule that Iowa has not started 0-2 and not fallen into a hole before they go back into non-conference play, which is huge. Minnesota isn't a great basketball team, but Iowa destroyed them. Iowa was able to dominate really from the outset of that game. And Luka Garza is just playing at an incredibly high level. We thought coming into the year that Joe Wieskamp was going to have to be the guy to carry a lot of the slack. And he finally broke out and had a really good shooting night last night. But Luka Garza is creating everything. You are seeing teams having so many issues guarding him and trying to handle the combination of the strength, the size, and the skill set, the post moves that he brings. You just don't see a guy like that very often. And right now, he's creating everything for this team, and he's showing that you can have a little bit of success in today's game by kind of running your team through a big man.
Remember when everybody sort of laughed when I said that Luka Garza was going to be drawing a lot of hype this season and most likely wind up testing the NBA waters at the end of the season? Kind of looking like that was pretty spot on, a blind pig finds something to eat every now and again, whatever the saying is. 319-366-1600. That being said, our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Is Thursday night going to be it for Jordan Bohannon at this point? He talked last night with members of the media who were at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Says he's taking it day by day at this point. He did not play earlier in the season against Cal Poly. If he had, last night would have been the drop-off point for needing to make a decision. Instead, And, of course, this will get the tinfoil hat-wearing Iowa State fan conspiracy theory mongers up in arms because Iowa last year played Cordell Pemsel against Iowa State and then shut him down. And Iowa State appears to be the final game on tap for Jordan Bohannon. We've known all along. It bothers me when people say that we really don't know what's going to happen here. Right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the worst. Exactly what's going to happen.
All apologies to Emil's Hideaway because this is the worst poll question we've ever had at KGYMradio.com.
Yes,
and I'm the
yes.
one who put it up there. We already know. Don't even bother vote. We know the answer. There's no way he plays again after Thursday night.
Rob Howe joined us for the big hour on Friday and sort of said something that surprised me. Apparently, it's not the surgically repaired hip that's giving him trouble right now. It's the other hip. And
that ain't good.
There was some concern that he might have to have surgery on that hip, according to Rob. So I don't think there's any question that Jordan Bohannon will be playing his final game. I don't think that there's any question that he sat out one game so he could play in that Iowa State game. And, yeah, vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. Will Jordan Bohannon, will he play, or is this going to be his last game? Yes or yes?
That should be the, that should have, those should have been the options. And trust me, I know a thing or two about bad poll questions because I come up with them more often than not. There is a good basketball game on tap tonight. You and I traveling. See, there are Power 5 programs out there that are not afraid to play you and I. Colorado is hosting the Panthers tonight. And yeah, it's a road game, and UNI has got to go to Boulder. I think I saw the Panthers are about a 6.5, 7-point underdog in that one. Maybe it was 8. It's been a while since I've taken a peek at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. But we will discuss all things UNI coming up on the program tomorrow with the incomparable Gary Rima. He's set to join us at 4:30. So best of luck going out to the Panthers tonight. 8-1, couple Division III wins padding that ledger at this point, but the Panthers do have some nice wins and an opportunity to pick up a really nice win tonight on the road. But let's circle back to Iowa and Iowa State because this is sort of a condensed version of Cy-Hawk week that we get in mid-September with football. When that rolls around, you get a full week of wanting to launch both of these programs and their fan bases into the sun. Now, with this, you get the women's game tomorrow night and then the men's game on Thursday. So you have to condense all of the stupidity and the hatred and the dumbness of these two fan bases going back and forth at one another. You condense it down into about a 48-hour period. It's not as fun as it is during the football season.
So you like it? You like the whole week? You like having the mudslinging and the poop throwing back and forth go for 7 days, and then, you know, inevitably the 7 days after the game?
When you are in this business, there's a little bit of scat play involved, whether you like it or not. 319-366-1600.
You paint a great picture.
We are wallowing in the pig pen that is the Cy-Hawk series right now. You got Iowa State fans out there all bat guano crazy that Iowa does. Oh, Cordell Pemsel last year and Jordan Bohannon. They could not care less. Now, Jordan Bohannon, I think, specifically chose this as his final game, yeah. But it was a good jumping off point because this is going to be the last stiff non-conference test, really, before Big Ten play resumes. And again, you go back to the beginning of the season, and people can sit here and say, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. We knew! We knew in May what the plan was going to be. He's too much of a competitor. He's not practicing between games. He's in so much pain. So we know this is going to be it on Thursday night. And I'm watching that game last night on TV. Robbie Hummel, the former Purdue standout, doing the color commentary, standing next to Luca Garza after that game. Garza's got like 3 inches on him. He made Robbie Hummel look almost pedestrian. I'm watching that game last night, and Jordan Bohannon comes up empty in the box score as far as points go, but 10 assists, sort of Joe Wieskamp sort of leaning on him. He said afterward that he wanted to get Wieskamp going. I think this is, you're going to get a passing of the torch Thursday night in Hilton Coliseum. It's not a permanent passing of the torch, but it's a passing of the torch for the 2019-2020 season. And look, Iowa State's going to be favored in that game. I think Iowa State's going to win that game. But Cyclones are going to have to figure out a way to stop Luka Garza.
I'm having flash.
Slow him down.
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks to their Iowa State's NCAA tournament game last year where they had no answer for Caleb Wesson. Caleb Wesson wrecked that game for Iowa State and on both ends of the court. And I still think Iowa State is going to win the game. I agree with you. It's at Hilton Coliseum. Iowa's going to have a really tough time with the guard play from Iowa State. But Luka Garza, what answer do they have for Luka Garza? I think George Condit has been great, and Solomon Young is a nice player. But I'm not convinced that either of them can contain just sort of the all-encompassing skill set and the unique skill set that Garza brings to the table. So I think it'll be a lot closer than I envisioned it coming into the season. I still think Iowa State wins it, but I'm not counting Iowa out just because the only reason I'm not counting them out is because of the way that Garza's playing right now.
It was a good night for the Hawkeyes. It's hard to find too much to complain about last night other than the fact that for a 7 o'clock tip-off on a Monday night against a Big Ten opponent, you only had an announced crowd of somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,442 people. And I say announced crowd
of
10,442 people. I've got no answers when it comes to trying to fill that arena. And 2019, 2020, we are in the times that we are in right now. It's a lot easier to stay at home. I had an excuse. Get off work at 7 o'clock. It's hard for me to get down there and make it worthwhile to cover a game that starts at 7 o'clock when I'm going to get there and miss half of it. So that's my excuse. What's everybody else's at this point? Because we've heard them all. It's a 6 o'clock start. It's an 8 o'clock start. Well, that's a 7 o'clock start on a Monday night, a Big Ten game, Minnesota. Pretty big deal. You're probably your last chance to see Jordan Bohannon, and you watch that game on TV, crickets. Lots of empty seats. Lots of black, padded, empty seats. That's not a good look for your program on TV.
Well, maybe it's because the in-game entertainment, as far as you have to make a half-court shot to win $150. Wait, really? $150 for a half-court shot? You had to see Robbie Hummel and the announcing crew making fun of that. I thought
that
was
hilarious.
Well, we
made fun of it last year or whatever, when it was like a gift card to some place.
Okay, so they've stepped their game up.
They've been doing this for, and I don't know. Look, it's so easy to sit there. And I saw somebody earlier today on Twitter say that, you know, football and wrestling seem to be off in their own realm, and then Iowa struggles with basketball. Well, football is an all-day event. Football is a weekend, all-day event. You build your entire week around it. Football sells itself. Wrestling, and the wrestling nuts out there are going to get really upset about this, but it's the truth. It's a niche sport. But it's a niche sport that people take really seriously in this state. So, of course, Carver Hawkeye Arena is going to be full to relatively full. They set a record this year for most season tickets sold. So you can't really compare men's and women's basketball to the football and wrestling experiences in Iowa City. Basketball is a lot different. There's no tailgating for basketball. You drive in, you park, you go into the arena, you watch three quarters of the game, and at 8 minutes left, you get up and you watch the rest of the game from the top of the arena before you race out to the parking lot to try to beat everybody. But guess what? Been doing it for years, folks. There's no way to beat people out of a compressed area in the middle of Iowa City and Coralville. You're going to be stuck in traffic. There's no way. It's so much easier to sit at home and watch on TV and we've been over this a number of times. You can go to the refrigerator and get a beer, go grab something, make yourself a sandwich at halftime, spend some time with the kids and the family at halftime, whatever. There's no incentive. There's not much incentive to go in person to these games anymore. And just, and I don't think that they will ever solve that, and I don't think it's necessarily an Iowa-only problem. Now, Thursday night, you're going to have a packed Hilton Coliseum, and you're going to have Iowa State fans saying they're going to play the attendance call. We fill the arena, and they do, but that's apples and oranges.
You've been doing enough Big Ten arenas.
More
than enough Big Ten arenas, so I want to ask you this. I see a lot of people consistently complaining about Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Is Carver-Hawkeye Arena a problem as far as drawing people in?
I think there were some people that were really optimistic when there was discussion of an arena in Coralville, that it would be larger than what it is, that it would be perhaps... But Iowa was never going to sign off on that, in my opinion. They didn't want to take men's and women's basketball off campus. Yes, Carver-Hawkeye Arena itself is Iowa's biggest enemy when it comes to drawing people for basketball games. John on the text line says parking sucks. He parks downtown and takes an Uber. And I know they run the shuttles from the Hancher parking lot and everything, and that's absolutely fine. Carver was built in the early 1980s, and it was fine for the times. They built it as a multi-use facility. And the problem when you build something as a multi-use facility always is the same issue. You are cutting off your nose to spite your face. If you're building an arena so that you can use it for wrestling and for basketball, something is going to lose out there. And you lose out a little bit when it comes to basketball, just the way that that arena is set up, where they chose to build the arena, how they chose to build. You go back and look at the original blueprints. There was supposed to be, if I recall correctly, a middle concourse, and they couldn't do that. They couldn't pull that off. So what you have is you enter at the top, and then you crater down 42 rows or whatever it is, and you've got an average age of a fan base that's about 72 years old at this point, and it makes it really difficult for those people to get to games. And amazingly, they've been the ones giving the money to the program the longest time, so a lot of them have the best seats, and they're down close. They're not going to stand up and make any noise. They're going to turn around and yell at people who stand up and make. There's no answer. There's no answer. But if you're complaining about attendance and the arena as opposed to anything that the team was doing, that's a good problem, is it not? 319-366-1600. So pick your battles here.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you would have told me on December 10th that the complaint is about attendance and the arena for a team that's actually performing well, I think that a lot of people would have taken that. Is this an NCAA tournament team that was kind of pitched around on Twitter last night by several national college basketball writers? I'm not ready to put them in that realm, but because I don't know what they're going to look like without Jordan Bohannon, but it looks a heck of a lot closer than I think a lot of people expected.
By the way, and Ed on the text line is reminding us of this, I did intend to bring up the fact that Little Richard referred to Iowa both as Ohio State and Iowa State last night on the Big Ten pregame and then in his postgame. I think on the, was it the pregame he said Ohio State, and then in the postgame he was talking about Iowa State. So perhaps that was part of Minnesota's problem last night. Maybe they lost by 20 because their head coach had no idea who they were playing. This is, by the way, the least surprising development of anything I've seen today on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And by the way, stick around with us because coming up at 4:50 tonight, you're going to have an opportunity to take home a $50 gift card to Hertine and Stocker. John in Columbus Junction has not been back to Carver-Hawkeye Arena since seeing Metallica play there in the 90s. That does not surprise me at all. I get a distinct Metallica in the 90s vibe from John in Columbus Junction. 319-366-1600. Everybody's saying the same thing on the text line about Carver. It's the parking. Parking is miserable. You go that god-awful commuter lot that they have,
right,
which is 40 miles away, and you play games. Basketball is played in the winter, and you're expecting people to trudge and take a dog sled or bring their snowshoes or their mucklucks and make it all the way. It just, there's no simple solution here to any of this. Iowa could play the most exciting style of basketball known to mankind, and they probably would have had 8,500 people actually in the arena last. Attendance is almost always listed as tickets sold. So they sold 10,400 tickets for that game last night. I don't know how many people were actually there in the building. But again, the bottom line is Iowa wins the game, and there's a little bit of buzz for this Thursday night showdown between Iowa State and Iowa now, when we will, of course, cover it ad nauseum here over the next 48 hours. We'll preview the women's game tomorrow with Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen. He's set to join us. I think we've got Tommy Birch lined up on Thursday's show. John Bonenkamp is going to be with us coming up here in about 5 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on Iowa and Iowa State in addition to Iowa and Minnesota last night.
And Jess Settles of the Big Ten Network is also going to join us on
Thursday.
Can't
forget about Jess.
So we're going to have you covered for that matchup.
I am in a tremendous mood today. I'm feeling much better. Yesterday was pure misery for me. I have booked my travel to San Diego for the Holiday Bowl. That's been taken care of today. So I'm in a great mood, which means at some point between now and 7 o'clock tonight, the Chicago Cubs will wind up trading Chris Bryant to the Hanshin Tigers of the Japanese League for a couple bags of baseballs and some sushi or something like that. We're going to get to the winter meetings coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, because there is a lot of angst among Cubs fans at the moment with regard to the fact that the Ricketts family is crying broke and they cannot afford to pay anybody and they need to trade a possible superstar and a former MVP so that they can have the payroll flexibility to go out and pay for a fourth or fifth starter. I wish I was making this up. I'm not. Plenty of baseball discussion for you. We're going to have Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com on with us tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow at, or no, excuse me, Thursday at 5:30.
Thursday.
To recap the winter meetings in beautiful, sunny, and warm
I am
San
on,
Diego.
But believe me, I got the sign off from the overlords today about taking care of the travel to San Diego. It's going to be a quick in and quick out, getting in the day before the game. Didn't want to fly in on Christmas because I didn't want to miss any additional time with my son and my wife. And that's the worst part about this business now is when you have a kid. It's not as easy as it was when you were either single or it was you and your wife and you could just say, okay, I got to go work. Now you got to explain to a little guy who just is attached to your hip all the time why you're not going to be around for a while. But everything will be good if I bring him back something from San Diego. Not going to be, I think Iowa does the SeaWorld trip on Christmas,
say.
So I'm not going to be there. He's not going to get a ShamWow or a ShamU or whatever. They don't even have. Do they have the whales?
They do.
At SeaWorld? Oh.
I went to the show.
That's right, because Tristan Wirfs said he was going to boycott or protest. I hope he does. Good for him.
I felt so wrong for being at that show. And being at SeaWorld in general, it was my little sister's idea.
Yeah,
and
little kids love that type of stuff.
But you can go there.
They're not cognizant of animal cruelty.
You can go there and get Thomas a stuffed animal for the low, low price, like $57. And
you're
call
talking
it
to
a day.
You are talking to the guy, as you know, who took an Uber. So Ubered from Big Ten Media Day in Chicago to downtown Chicago to the Blackhawks store. And paid $38, I think it was, for the stuffed Tommy Hawk,
mm-hmm.
and then Ubered back. So that was probably the cost of what a stuffed whale would go for at SeaWorld. This is going to be a great bowl game, and of course we will continue to preview it, and Iowa State's trip to the Camping World Bowl as well against Notre Dame. So lots to get to coming up in the weeks ahead here. Again, John Bonenkamp set to join us shortly. But before we can get to John, we got to get a big board update brought to you by the good folks at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Probably not the best time to be putting a deck on your home, but if you want to get the drop on 2020, start thinking about some of those spring and summer home improvements, making your backyard a little bit nicer. Alexander Lumber has a lot of decking options, both wood, the plastic deck. That's very popular now, the plastic decking. My in-laws have it. Alexander Lumber is the place to check out, 420th Street in Iowa City. They also have the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street. Time for a big board update with Alex.
The Iowa basketball team improved to 7-3 overall with a 72-52 victory last night over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Joe Wieskamp and Luca Garza were outstanding for Iowa, who moved to 1-1 in the Big Ten. Wieskamp made 5 of 7 three-point attempts on his way to 23 points, while Luca Garza tacked on 21 points and 10 rebounds, as Garza was also named the first Iowa basketball player to be named the Oscar Robertson Player of the Week for his performance last week, which included a 44-point game against Michigan. Iowa heads to Ames next to play Iowa State on Thursday night. The 8-1 UNI basketball team will get their stiffest test of the season as they're in Boulder, Colorado tonight to take on the 24th-ranked Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs come in with a record of 7-1, with their only loss coming on Saturday against Kansas. Tip-off from the Coors Event Center is scheduled for 8 p.m. Central Time. Iowa defensive end A.J. Epinesa was named a finalist for the Polynesian College Football Player of the Year Award. Epinesa is one of 5 finalists, and we're going to find out in a couple of weeks whether Epinesa will be playing his last game as an Iowa Hawkeye.
All right, we've got a couple texts that I absolutely need to address before we get to John Bonenkamp of Hawkeye Maven and Sports Illustrated. 3395 is mad at the world and wants to throw fists with all of the Hawkeye fans that are blaming parking. 3395 says, went to the game, had a great time. All I want to see is players give 110%, and they did. Parking is a poor excuse, period. Support those guys on the court or shut up. So 3395 is ready to throw down with all of the people who are making excuses about not going to Carver Hawkeye Arena. And 7854 is disappointed that I referred to SeaWorld as animal cruelty. In what world, they ask?
What?
Well,
have you
probably
been following along with the news for
probably
like the last
in
decade?
Probably in the world of the animals. You're talking to a guy who's 285 pounds and shares an office about the size of a, well, not the size of a small meeting room, because it used to be a small meeting room. 285-pound guy who shares an office with 3 other human beings. That's kind of the equivalent of taking one of those whales and putting them in those tanks. It's probably not the best life for that whale. But if that's the most controversial take that I throw down here, that I'm standing up for the sea life at SeaWorld, yeah, go back and check the last couple decades worth of storylines out of SeaWorld. Tristan Wirfs himself said that he's not a huge fan of...
Let's just say the SeaWorld stock, as far as the shows, have gone way down.
If there's anybody that could understand, I mean, Tristan Wirfs is a big dude. He can sympathize. 319-366-1600. I love it. We got so many people agitated about so many things today. We got Iowa State fans and Iowa fans agitated at one another. We got Iowa basketball fans agitated at one another, and now we've got people upset that I had the gall to have an opinion about SeaWorld. We're agitating today, and the best person to agitate with us is one of the best agitators that I know. He lives for dysfunction and chaos. He's John Bonenkamp of Hawkeye Maven and Sports Illustrated, and he is with us next. Back with more after this.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings and velvet-lined Hertin and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertin and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertine & Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 10 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Great gift ideas come from Iowa Book, with one-of-a-kind gifts from your one-of-a-kind bookstore. This season, give a t-shirt or sweatshirt with your own designer photo, or choose from the dozens of university-approved Hawkeye designs. Iowa Book's custom shirt department. This year's most popular sweatshirt has a print with Iowa Grandma over a tiger hawk. Iowa Book, downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Hi, I'm Sergeant First Class Justin Mosley.
And I'm Staff Sergeant Trenton Addis.
Ever thought about a career in the Army?
We have over 150 jobs you can choose from.
Thought about furthering your education?
With the Army, we offer $70,000 for school. Last year, over 6,000 soldiers graduated with a degree.
So what's holding you back from getting information?
Come by and talk to us at 130 Collins Road, right across the street from Lindale Mall. Or call us at 319-395-9834.
Thank you, and hope to see you soon.
435, we welcome you back in on a cold, blustery Tuesday, and that's just here in the KGYM studios. 435, as we mentioned, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM with you until 7 o'clock this evening. High school basketball on tap coming up for you. West Delaware at Clear Creek Amana on 106.3 FM. That's going to be boys action. And Cedar Rapids, Washington at Linmar coming up on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM tonight. Both of those broadcasts set to begin at 7:30. Get those fantasy football questions to us for Tristan Cockcroft now on the text line, 319-366-1600. You will jump to the front of the line. Tristan normally joins us on Wednesdays, courtesy of Imon Communications, but he has a parental conflict tomorrow night, and if there's anybody that can understand and sympathize with him, it's me, so I said, hey, come on Tuesday night. It's going to be great. It's before waivers run. Maybe we can actually help some people win their matchups. I'm done with fantasy football, by the way. I was victim to the Zach Ertz garbage time touchdown last night. So up yours, Philadelphia. I'm done. I'm done. And so it's actually kind of liberating as I see some of the texts coming in for Tristan. He's going to be with us in 25 minutes. Stick around after our next guest, because that's going to be your chance to take home a $50 gift card to Hertine & Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. I said nobody is better at joining us on a day where we seem to be agitating anyone and everyone with anything that we do or say than John Bonenkamp of Hawkeye Maven and Sports Illustrated. So, John, let's agitate away here. We got people mad that I said SeaWorld is animal cruelty. We got Iowa State and Iowa fans agitated with one another, and we got Iowa basketball fans agitated that nobody is showing up at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Where was everybody last night?
I don't know, but my feeling is this: is if they were mad and they weren't there, then they should be there the next game. So, I mean, it's up to them to show up, you know. And I was a little surprised last night. I mean, granted, a lot of those empty seats were student seats, and I think that's that's an issue that they have to, I think that's an issue they have to solve one way or the other. They need to get the kids back. I remember when I was at school there, and my first couple of years, you could only get half season tickets, you know, if you were a freshman or sophomore, because there was such, they were such a demand for them. And, you know, I think they need to solve that problem. That's the problem I think they need to solve more than anything else, is getting the kids to come back to the games.
John, I'm going to ask you our Emil's Hideaway poll question. Do you expect Thursday night to be Jordan Bohannon's last game with the Hawkeyes this season? Yes or yes?
Yes. You know, I mean, I you know, there have been times early in the season where I thought maybe he was just going to play it out and be done. But when you hear the things of, you know, now it's the other hip is bothering him too, and he's not practicing, and you watch him play. And I think he plays Thursday night, and then I think he's done for the year. And I think that's the smart move. I think, you know, you don't want to go through a whole year. You don't want to gamble. You don't want to be in a situation where, you know, maybe he feels fine today and tomorrow and Thursday and all that, and then come January 1st, you played in 12 or 13 games, and all of a sudden you're having a hard time walking. You know, it's and then your season's done, and you can't get anything else. So I think that's his – I mean, I think he knows his choice. I think, you know, I think he just – you know, last night it just kind of seemed like he knew what he was going to do. He just wasn't ready to say it yet. And I think he's – I think he plays Thursday night, and then he's done.
The comments that he made afterwards last night about trying to get Joe Wieskamp going, is this sort of signaling that he's transitioning into, for lack of a better term, sort of the team's number one cheerleader on the bench, maybe sort of a captain from the bench, if you will?
Yeah, I think that's a good role for him. I think he is a leader in that locker room. I think he kind of runs everything, and he knows how to get on those guys. And you know, one of the things he said last night was he told Joe Wieskamp, "If I'm going to pass you the ball, you better shoot it." And you know, right out of the gate last night, passing the ball, and he shoots and makes a three, and it was kind of like, "See, I told you so." You know, so I mean, I think that's, you know, I think he knows that a lot of guys have to get going here. It can't just be Luka Garza 44 points every night. It's got to be Joe Wieskamp with 20. It's got to be CJ Frederick, you know, once he kind of gets through his quad issue here, whether, you know, he can get, you know, 15, 18 a night. And then all of a sudden, if you've got three scorers, then it makes this a really hard team to defend. And then you got other guys filling in with points here or there. And I think you get to the points you're going to need to win a lot of games. But I agree with you. I think that he is going to be really big behind the scenes here the rest of the season in getting these guys to do what they're capable of doing.
As far as Joe Wieskamp goes, how welcome of a sight was it last night? Not just to see him put up, I don't know, 15, 16 points, but to get into a rhythm and to catch fire like he did at certain points last year. They're going to need that more often.
Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely. And I mean, if you look at some of these games he's played, you know, early in the season, I mean, he's struggled a little bit, and then he just kind of, you know, he's not himself. He hasn't looked like himself, like, you know, some of the way he played last year. And so for him to have that game last night, to have, you know, 11 of the first 13 points, 13 and first 17, you know, he kind of went away there for a while, then he hits a big three right before the end of the half. Hits a big three to start the second half. Played really good defense, which he said was his biggest concern after the Michigan game. You know, and he said, you know, he was, I let a lot of things happen that I can't let happen. And he was much better defensively last night. And so, I mean, from an overall game, just consistently both ends of the court, he played really well last night. And they're going to need that from him moving forward, because you're not going to have Jordan Bohannon. You're going to have a leader in that backcourt, in that 1, 2, and 3 spot, and it's got to be him. He's got to be the one that helps out with Luka Garza in being the running this team.
John Bonenkamp with us of Hawkeye Maven and the Sports Illustrated Network of Team Sites, talking Hawkeye basketball. We'll get his thoughts on football and the Holiday Bowl coming up in just a little bit. How does Iowa State try to address Luka Garza on Thursday night? Can they slow him down?
You know, I was watching. You know, I watched your game the other night, and I think they will try to do a lot of different things to take him away. And Minnesota did that last night. What he's been really good at all year is that he adjusts during the game. It's not a, you know, one game later, oh, I should have done this. I was watching tape and I should have done this. No, you know, if whatever they do to him in the first 5 minutes, he figures out in the next 10. And he figures out a way around it. And he did that last night. He started slow, had a couple of turnovers, had a couple of shots blocked, which was a little uncharacteristic. Then all of a sudden figured out, okay, I need to do this. And had a big second half and really kind of, you know, got that team going in the second half and they pulled away. You know, I think they're going to try different things. They'll try to double team him. They'll try to keep him off the block. But, you know, he's good enough right now that where he's making mid-game adjustments, and then that becomes even just a really hard a player to defend.
Yeah, have you been impressed as I have with how he's handled those double teams? Because you knew they were coming, and just sort of the way that he was able to get around them against Michigan, against another really good big in John Teske, that was the moment where I started to think, okay, maybe this is sustainable for him.
Yeah, and I mean, you last night, I mean, one of the things he did last night was, okay, I can't do this. Well, he started then kicking the ball out, and they were getting some open threes. Well, then that kind of takes away your double team. Now you can work inside a little bit again. So he's figured, like I said, he figures out early in the game what he can and can't do and makes adjustments accordingly. And that's a sign of a really smart basketball player. That's a sign of a really mature basketball player, I think.
Have we moved the goalposts on the expectations for this team at this point?
Yeah, and I mean, and then, you know, if something happens tomorrow night, then everybody will freak out again, like they did Friday night. I think this is a good team. I think this is a tough team, and I think that's something that maybe you haven't been able to say the last couple, you know, in some of these last few seasons. And this is a team that knows how to battle. And
say it, John. Say the G word.
They're gritty.
Yeah, there we go.
As the lone arbiter of gritty, and I said this, this is a gritty team. I mean, it's a team that I think is has a lot of toughness to it. And, you know, when they don't play defense, obviously that's when problems occur. And I mean, you go back to the Michigan game the other night. You score 91 against Michigan, you should win that game. But when you're when you're giving up 103, you know, when you give up 103 in that game, you only give up 52 last night. So you're doing some things, you know, when they play defense. When they play tough defense, they're going to be a difficult team to beat. It's just a matter of how they play on that end of the court, I think.
Is that going to go a long way in deciding whether or not they can come out of Hilton Coliseum with a victory? How especially they're able to defend the Iowa State guards?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't let them get going. You can't let them get the explosions. That's a team that really thrives on, you know, the big threes and the dunks and everything else. And I mean, they try to get that crowd going. And if you can slow them down and make shots at the other end, you can go in there and get a win, but they're going to have to do all those things. I don't think you want to get into a running game with them. But you know, again, while watching Iowa State the other night, they're a tough team. They're gritty at home. And so, I mean, I think this is going to be a tough game tomorrow night for both of them. I think these are two teams that I mean, I don't think they like each other. You know, and it's a rivalry. That's the way it should be. And so I think it's going to be a tough game. And I think it's tomorrow night's going to be a really good test for Iowa as you get into the Big Ten season and you get into some of these other arenas. It'll be a good lesson for them tomorrow night, one way or the other.
Let's chat football for a little bit before we let you get back on your way on a Tuesday night. The Holiday Bowl, USC, your initial thoughts on the matchup for the Hawkeyes?
You know, they just seem to be heading. You know, they just seem to be headed to San Diego. I mean, I was kind of in the back of my mind hoping for that Citrus Bowl trip and play Alabama and see how that goes. But I mean, again, it's a place where Iowa hasn't been in years. You know, I kind of wish the game was a little later in the week, you know, in the schedule, but it is what it is. A very good USC team that likes to throw the ball. That's really going to test Iowa. They're going to have to get pressure on the quarterback, and they're going to have to play really good on the back end. You know, you're still playing USC. It's still USC. I mean, even if they've only won 8 games, it's still USC. So, I mean, it's a good game for them. I think it's a good way to end the year. They want to get to 10 wins. That's what Nate Stanley was talking about the other day. When you think about it, he has a chance to win 3 bowl games, and it's like there are not a lot of quarterbacks in Iowa can say that. So, I think it's a good game. I think it's going to be a good time. I think it's a fun game. I think, you know, USC is really young. Iowa's got a little more experience, and I think maybe that's going to be the difference in the end.
That word you use there, fun game. I think throughout the year we always talk about these games in the Big Ten, and it's going to be decided in the trenches, and it's going to be one of those games. And isn't that kind of the intricacy of bowl games where you see a team from out west, a team like USC that honestly probably has one of the best passing games in the country against Iowa that has one of the best pass defenses in the country?
Yeah, and I mean, that, you know, it's a chance to see somebody that you don't normally see, and it's, you know, I think, you know, everybody criticizes the bowls and all that, and but their exhibition games. No, I think for these players, I think they like this. I think you like seeing somewhere different and seeing different teams and different styles of play, so you can show what you can do. And I talked to Geno Stone. I said, "What do you think of, you know, when you play passing games?" And he said, "You know, one of the things is," he goes, "I like to play those kind of games because I can show my ability." And so I think for the players, I think they're excited about the opportunity. They're excited about the chance of getting to play a really good USC team in a really good game.
John, is this going to be it for Tristan Wirfs and A.J. Epenesa? What's your feel on this? Both of them have filed their paperwork. They've got until the middle part of January to make a decision, but projected to be first, not only first-round picks, but top 10. First-round picks. My gut says that both of them would be best served to leave, but we saw Brandon Scherff come back.
Yeah, and I, you know,
we lost John.
We'll see if we can
We can get him back really quick, because I wanted to run a hypothetical Dodgers-Cubs trade by him. In the meantime, we invite you to vote in our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Is Thursday night going to be it for Jordan Bohannon? All indications are that the former Linmar standout is going to be shutting it down after the Iowa State game. That will be the 10th game that he will have played in, Iowa's 11th game, but he did not play in that non-conference game against Cal Poly at Carver Hawkeye Arena a couple weeks ago. It's not 100%. It's not unanimous at KGYMRadio.com. Kind of surprised by that. About 60% of the voters at this point saying no, they do not. Actually, 60% yes, 40% no. Still surprised by that. We've got John back with us here. John, I was asking Tristan Wirfs and A.J. Epenesa your thoughts as to whether or not this will be the last time we see them in an Iowa uniform.
I think when you look at where they're at in the rankings, I think they'd be smart to go. You know, I think Tristan probably goes. I think A.J.'s probably leaning that way. But I also think he likes being at Iowa and being, I mean, that's why they're playing in this game. So, you know, I think it would be smart for both of them to go. If everybody's telling you you're going to go in the top 10, that's a lot of money. You're not going to get much better over next year. It just depends on, do you really like playing college football, or do you really want to go get this done now? And yeah, I think where they've been projected at, I think maybe that kind of makes the decision for them.
All right, John. Alex Verdugo, Kyber Ruiz, Mitchell White, and some cash to the Cubs for Chris Bryant. Yes or no?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Do us
no,
a favor.
They're gonna get Anthony Rendon, and then they're gonna get Garrett Cole. They're just gonna throw money around.
Well,
I know is not gonna happen.
There was a move made moments ago at the winter meetings that seemed to indicate Anthony Rendon could be headed to Los Angeles, but it does not involve the Dodgers. So. Sorry to hear that.
Well, one of the things they did bring that up on MLB Network today, that may be an option if they can't get Rendon or Josh Donaldson. So, but if you're going to get rid of some of those prospects, I'd rather go get Francisco Lindor, but that's just me.
I don't think the Indians are going to be moving him. John, we will talk to you down the road, and look forward to spending some time with you in San Diego. Sunny San Diego.
Right. Yeah. It looked nice on the video I've seen from out there. So, yeah, looking forward to that trip.
John Bonenkamp of Hawkeye Maven. Go check out the new, relatively new site, the community the Sports Illustrated is building, formerly of the Burlington newspaper, which we shall not name here on KGYM. Alex Verdugo would solve the Cubs center field problem. That deal, by the way, that I was referencing, for those of you not following along with the baseball winter meetings, the Los Angeles Angels have shipped Zach Cozart to the San Francisco Giants for a minor league player and some cash. And that frees up about, they got $60 million to spend before they would hit the luxury tax threshold. And this comes on the heels of reports that Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, has a little bit of an infatuation with Anthony Rendon. You drop him into a lineup that also features Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, among others. By the way, the latest winter meetings deal, free agent shortstop Didi Gregorius reportedly has found a home with the Philadelphia Phillies. 453, we promised you a $50 gift card to Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. I'm going to give that to you right now if you're caller number 6, 319-366-1600. Caller number 6 taking home a $50 stocking stuffer to Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. You can check them out on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street, a member of the Dickens family, always on hand to answer any questions you may have this holiday shopping season. We'll find out who our winner is when we return after this. You're listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money, like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care, like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
On KGYM, you've got sports and the gym class. On Smart FM, you've got class, music class. Our Smart Rock professors will teach you all there is to know about Smart Rock. Tunes you know and love, live tracks and B-sides, and great songs you just plain old forgot about. With a library spanning multiple decades, our professors dig deep. This isn't your typical classic rock station. This is Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
It's the Built for the Holiday sales event at Ford. It's a big deal, and we're busy making preparations to get you the best deals of the year. Because unlike Santa's presents, ours just don't magically appear. At Ford, ours are built in real factories, where pickup trucks come with best-in-class payload, where SUVs are built with available features like terrain management and driver-assist technologies, and where you can get 20% estimated savings on select Ford SUVs and trucks. You don't have to write Santa a letter to get these presents, naughty or nice. Just come see your Ford dealer during our holiday sales event. Best in class payload when properly configured. Classes light duty pickups under 8,500 pounds GVWR based on Ford segmentation. Eligible on select 2019 model year vehicles. Vehicle must have arrived at dealer at least 61 days prior to the sale date. Estimated savings include an average dealer discount based on a sales survey of average discounts offered by Ford dealers nationally. Discount may vary. Dealer determines price. For all offers, take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by 1-2-2020. See participating dealer for complete details.
This is Carl on his motorcycle.
Let's ride till we run out of gas!
And this is Carl off his motorcycle.
Balsa wood is very different than teak. People confuse the two.
On his motorcycle.
Hey! Check out that view!
Off his motorcycle.
Let's do puzzles in the break room.
On.
Look at all that open road!
Off.
Look how long my fingernails are getting.
You're better on your bike. Progressive helps keep you on it. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hey, you behind the wheel. While we can't help you with freeway traffic, we can help keep your engine running like new. That's because Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is engineered to defend against four main engine threats. Gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So, next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to selectquote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
4:58, welcome back in as we close up shop on our number one a Tuesday evening. That's the bad news. If you missed our talk with John Bonenkamp of Sports Illustrated and Hawkeye Maven, podcast will be available shortly for you at KGYMRadio.com once we're off the air at 7 tonight. Nick in Cedar Rapids gets kudos for taking home a $50 stocking stuffer from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, and we'll have another one of those gift cards coming up for you on tomorrow's program. 5 o'clock hour is around the corner, and it's going to be a good one. It starts next with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions. You can get them to us now on the text line, 366-1600, 7461, 8240, 8606, and 1821. We have you queued up and ready to go. Again, the number for Tristan and your fantasy football questions, 366-1600. NFL expert Howard Balzer also set to join us coming up at 6 o'clock this evening. All that and more right here on Eastern Iowa's leader for sports radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, KGYM. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com joins us next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
BN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Developing story. ESPN's Buster Olney reports the Yankees have offered free agent pitcher Gerrit Cole a deal worth more than the seven-year, $245 million contract Steven Strasburg and the Nationals agreed to. Specifics of New York's offer not yet known. A denial from Patriots coach Bill Belichick of any involvement with the videographer caught taping the Bengals sideline during Sunday's game against Cleveland. The videographer, filming for a series on the Patriots website, credentialed by the Browns, apparent lack of miscommunication with the Bengals. NFL's investigating. Belichick said they try to be competitive in every area, but maybe not take it as far as they might have in the past. The reality of the situation lies in the tapes, says ESPN's Jack Del Rio.
Would not surprise anybody for them to be pushing it to the edge. Mm-hmm. And the tape is going to tell the truth. Yes. I mean, if they're sitting there and they're fixated on the sideline and the coaches and the signaling and whatever it might be, to me, they have an issue.
NHL Stars fired coach Jim Montgomery for unprofessional conduct. Assistant Rick Bonus takes over as interim coach.
Coming up Wednesday, there may not be any more college football rankings coming out this season, but my NFL top three-ish is still going, and that's just getting started. Plus, a friend of the show is up to no good for all the right reasons. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
'Twas the holiday season, and in your garage, a brand new John Deere. That's not a mirage. With neighbors admiring your shiny new ride, it's your year for a Deere to fill you with pride. So if additional offers are what you desire, see our low rates before they expire. Now start up your engines and drive out of sight. New John Deere equipment for all, and to all a good night. Make it your year for a Deere. See your John Deere dealer today to discover more amazing deals and attractive financing offers.
And 502, welcome back in a Tuesday evening here in Eastern Iowa on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. High school hoops on tap for you coming up at 7:30, all three frequencies, couple games for you. One, a boys contest on 106.3 featuring West Delaware and Clear Creek Amana. Girls action, Cedar Rapids, Washington at Linmar on 107.5 and 1600. Howard Balzer stopping by to kick off another week of NFL action coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. And winter meetings discussion galore coming up in just about 30 minutes. The Cubs seem open to trading Chris Bryant. What's going on? Why are they doing that? We'll get into that and more. Some free agents finding homes, possibly Anthony Rendon, the Angels, maybe making room for him. Should be a good discussion if you're a baseball fan. We'll warm up the hot stove for you at the bottom of the hour. But first, a very special opportunity to have Tristan Cockcroft with us on a Tuesday night as opposed to Wednesday. This actually works out fantastic because a lot of leagues run their waivers on Tuesday night. So normally we're talking to Tristan after waivers run. He has a conflict tomorrow with his regular appointed spot. So Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. Tristan, happy to accommodate you and glad to have you aboard tonight. My fantasy season is over last night, and it came at the hands of Zach Ertz in overtime. That touchdown at the end of the game is what did me in, and I'm probably not the only person out there feeling that today.
Oh, no. I feel for you there. I've seen a couple of instances where Carson Wentz was the one who decided matchups. I will tell you that in my longest-running Dynasty League, it wasn't my game, but it was the other playoff matchup. Carson Wentz's owner had him active, had a 99% chance of losing with 5 minutes left in the game, and I think you could guess where this is going. He ended up winning the game by 2 points on that touchdown at the very end. So it happens to us all.
You know, it's my own fault. I didn't see the 49ers shootout with the Saints coming, and I had Emmanuel Sanders on my bench. So if I would have had him in my lineup over, say, Cooper Kupp, and who would have made that play? But anyway, it's over regardless. Let's get to the questions on the text line. You can pick up the phone and call, by the way, as well, 366-1600. Let's start with Darren. He's going up against Lamar Jackson. He needs to start one of the following two quarterbacks, Russell Wilson or Jimmy Garoppolo this week.
So I actually like both of them this week. I'm going to use Wilson, and I'm going to just cast aside the poor performance that he recently had. Carolina's defense is not playing well in any way. Now, granted, they're worse against the run, so I feel a little bit better about Chris Carson from the Seahawks offense, but I think that Russell Wilson is ultimately the better player in the centerpiece, so I'm going to go with him. I think he'll throw a good amount. He'll get things done. That defense is just a mess. Good matchup.
74-25 is in a PPR league and wants to know which two of these five to sit. So Sterling Shepard, D.D. Westbrook, Michael Gallup, Tyler Boyd, and Debo Samuel.
So I would lean Westbrook and Samuel out of that bunch. I feel like Westbrook's role isn't certain enough in order to trust him here. The targets are wavering a little bit too much for my taste. You have to capitalize upon slot receiver matchups in order to really benefit there. And yeah, Oakland is a good matchup for wide receivers. The problem I have with that is that when I see an overall good matchup for wide receivers, I'm going to the perimeter guy, so I'm steering clear of him there. And in Debo Samuel, look, I like the player, and he's very exciting for dynasty purposes. The problem with this is Emmanuel Sanders, who you just mentioned a minute ago. Sanders had a very good game, and it looked like he was back to being the number one wide receiver, which cast some doubt on Samuel's role.
Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions now, 319-366-1600. Pick up the phone and give us a call or use the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. 7461, Ryan Tannehill or Dak Prescott this week?
Amazing to think that this is a perfectly legitimate question and in fact has the unusual, I guess unusual answer of Ryan Tannehill. I would use Tannehill this week. It's a great matchup for him against Houston. Houston has struggled against quarterbacks in a pretty severe way, especially in the since the second half of the season has begun. The other thing, and I like this stat, since Tannehill took over as the Titans starter in week 7, He is the sixth highest scoring fantasy player in the game, any position. That's pretty impressive what he has done, and he's been very consistent in doing it. So with a good matchup, it's all him.
So another Ryan Tannehill-related question. 8240 is in a two-quarterback league and wants to know which two to start out of these three between Ryan Tannehill, Drew Brees, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's pretty close. I think all three warrant starts in a traditional two-quarterback league, but when you have three guys and two spots, you got to sit one of them, and that's going to be Garoppolo for me. And part of that is just that while Atlanta is still a good matchup, they've had some issues defending the pass during the year. They've been a little bit better against it lately, and the opponents they've faced quarterbacks-wise have been too inconsistent for my taste. So I'm not going to go with Garoppolo, who, yeah, did just drop a very good game against a good defense. Kind of fits the same description where New Orleans has played better against the pass lately, and he did well against it. I just can't see it happening twice in a row. Tannehill and Brees have better matchups. Indy for Brees in addition to the Tannehill-Houston.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and Interstate 380. We've got Kyle in a half-point PPR league with a tight end question. Kyle, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Tristan, I've got Mark Andrews on my team. Hopefully he's able to play, but if he can't, I'm wondering if I should pick up O.J. Howard or Tyler Higbee. Thanks.
Okay, so I think Andrews is going to play. The good news about this is that because it's the short week for the Ravens, we've got some reads on players playing, and it sounds, at least in the past couple of hours, as if Lamar Jackson did declare he is going to play, but it looks as if things are trending in that direction, and they're also trending in the direction of Andrews playing. So I think you'll be okay here. It's a smart idea, as you described, to protect yourself, and given those two options with what we know today, I'll go with O.J. Howard, which sounds absurd if you think about what he's done this season, but I genuinely believe that the Mike Evans injury is going to thrust things a little bit in the tight end's direction, and Howard's going to have to do something. He's going to have to get targets. I think he's the better fallback.
8606 needs to start two of these four, DK Metcalf, Christian Kirk, Devin Singletary, and Michael Gallup.
That's two out of these? Right?
Yes, two of the four.
Okay, so I'm going to sit Gallup first. And that's just a little bit of the combination of the role and the matchup itself. I'd probably have to start Metcalf. I'm thinking Singletary. I really hate to say sit Devin Singletary, but I have a major problem with the matchups for him lately. I mean, he just simply put, and Buffalo as a whole are facing some really tough defenses. Pittsburgh has played extraordinarily. I think anybody who hasn't looked at the season-long leaderboards probably isn't aware of the fact that the Steelers just moved into second place for fantasy points from defenses. That's how well they've been playing this year, and I think I've just got to avoid it.
18-21 in a PPR league has Mostert and Tevin Coleman. Needs to start one.
So with what we know now, I'm going with Mostert. I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row where the Niners made Mostert the effectively feature back. Now, it is very clearly a committee, so it's kind of a misnomer there. But if you're going to get a guy who's close enough to that, Mostert's usage was the closest to it. It was kind of in the way that Ronald Jones was being used 2 to 3 weeks ago, where he had that 3 to 4 week span where he was being used more than half of the offensive snaps, was getting you 12 to 15 carries. And I think he's going to be a little bit locked in there. Now, granted, it didn't play out that well for Jones, and it might shift that way for most of the Niners, but I'm going to ride the hot hand.
The question that 9416 comes up with may not be all that close, but would you start Patrick Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo?
It's closer than you think. Mahomes is a terrible matchup against Denver, and he's got the hand issue. And I think he's going to play, and it's all good that there was no break, but the injuries, and particularly the bumps and bruises, are bothering me. And when you couple it with a bad matchup, especially considering it's the second one in a row, and he didn't have a great score last week, I get concerned. I'm still going to start him because I think he's a dynamic talent, because he's got Tyreek Hill, who can beat opposing cornerbacks who are elite. He's got a great tight end in Travis Kelce. He's got options here, but it is close. And I will tell you that if you've got to shoot for the moon, you got to go for the upside. Garoppolo's upside is better this week. I'm going to go with the known guy.
I'm on communications, bringing you a direct line to ESPN's Tristan Cockcroft. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. Check him out online at ESPN.com. Brandon in Cedar Rapids, PPR League, Jameis Winston or Should he pick up Drew Lock this week?
Yeah, I'm actually getting a rising number of Drew Lock questions, and I think the best case to be made for Lock in this game is that he's probably going to be throwing a lot because of the catch-up prospects. Now, in Winston's case, yeah, it's wise to get yourself a backup just in case the injury causes a problem as we get closer to game time. I do think he's ultimately going to play, and the matchup is an A-OK, unless it was something like he's a questionable 50-50 guy right down to the inactives list, and they say, we're a little concerned, we're making sure the backup is ready, I'm going to start him. I think it's just too good of a matchup. I think he's a top five quarterback for the week. Lock's a worthwhile add. I think there might be better options out there for you. I'd take Gardner Minshew, for example, against Oakland if he's out there in your league. I might go to Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Giants. I think they provide you a little more upside as your your safety net.
1250 is in a PPR league and wants to know which of these three to start. So just one of the three between John Brown, DK Metcalf, and Sterling Shepard.
I will go with DK Metcalf there, and that's partly just trying to capitalize on that Carolina defense I've described has been playing very, very poor football lately. It's somewhat close between these guys, but I think he's the safest option of those. I'm not a John Brown guy this week at all. I hate the matchup.
0696, Kyler Murray or Matt Ryan?
Okay, so Murray, I ranked Murray in the top 10, and I don't feel great about it. The reason I did that is just that I think that's the high floor that comes with a mobile guy, and Cleveland has been an above-average matchup for an opposing quarterback. That's going to be enough for me this week. I don't like the Ryan matchup against San Francisco. I think the main thing with him is you're aiming for volume. You're hoping he throws a lot, and then maybe, especially considering the Niners, a couple of their defensive losses to injuries recently, maybe he doesn't turn the ball over all that much. But I'm going to stick with Kyler Murray. I think he's a safer bet.
I know how we've talked about Lamar Jackson as a must-start every week. 6790 wants to know if there's any argument as to play Russell Wilson over him this week.
I can't make it. I don't think it's completely out of left field, but I do think it's a bit of a stretch. Jackson, I think, is going to play. And the Jets, I mean, at least the numbers say it grades a slightly better matchup even than Carolina. When I watch, I'm talking about the eye test here when I mentioned Carolina is a good matchup for opposing quarterbacks. I don't like what I see. I just don't think I really don't think they're bringing their A game, to be honest with you. But the Jets matchup, it's been a very good one. And the fact that it's a plus matchup makes me think that Jackson's very clearly the guy.
We got a lot of texts in the queue that are going to be upset at Kevin in North Liberty for jumping the line, but that's what we do with phone callers. Kevin, what do you got?
Hi, yeah, I have James Conner and Adam Thielen. I've been riding my bench the last couple weeks with injuries. Are they trustworthy matchups coming back this week? And also, is Ryan Fitzpatrick a good start for the fantasy football playoffs?
It's James Conner, you said, right?
Yes, sir.
The first one? Okay, yeah. So Connor was one I've been following the injury situation with, and it sounds like he's going to go down to being questionable again for this week. The same is very likely to me to go with Thielen. And as a matter of fact, I didn't rank either of the two in my preliminary set just because I am that skeptical that they're going to contribute. I would try to avoid them if I possibly could. I actually don't think we're getting far from the point that they could be cut if you find something else good out there. I'd be very careful. Frankly, right now I feel better about Benny Snell for the Steelers at least getting the bulk of the work this week than Connor. As far as quarterbacks, I mentioned Fitzpatrick. It's a decent matchup against the Giants, and I do think he'll throw a lot. So I'd endorse him as a number two option in a two-quarterback league as kind of a pinch hitter for you if you need that. I wouldn't be starting him over some of the other examples we said before, Tannehill's, Garoppolo's. I wouldn't start him over Jacoby Brissett.
All right, Tristan, 62-75. If you remember from last week, this is the 12-team standard scoring league that somehow made the playoffs. He needs two of the following four running backs, Tevin Coleman, Jamal Williams, Ronald Jones, or David Johnson again this week. Pick two.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jamal Williams is probably my first one. It's a tough one here other than to say that Chicago has been a pretty decent matchup for opposing running backs. So I would go that direction first. Man, do I go back to Ronald Jones? I have a hard time doing it. Detroit's defense has been up and down against opposing running backs lately, but I think that there's enough there that he's going to be the second option. Detroit has graded slightly above average in recent weeks, even with Damon Harrison contributing. I think Jones is your second option.
1708 asked a question that if I would have asked prior to the season, I couldn't believe, would not be able to believe that we've arrived at this point, but Ryan Tannehill or Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, can you believe it?
No,
here's
I can't.
Here's another thing that's crazy. Right? I mean, it's like, this is where we've come to. This feels like Billy Volek all over again. I have Ryan Tannehill ranked 7th among quarterbacks this week. I have Aaron Rodgers ranked 9th among quarterbacks this week. Faces Chicago. That's not a good matchup for an opposing quarterback. I don't see the touchdown upside that would usually be present for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I'd use Tannehill.
The beauty of fantasy football. 2280. I think we've answered Matt Ryan or Kyler Murray already, but he also wants to know Kareem Hunt or Marvin Jones as a flex play.
Well, Jones, we just got the breaking news that Jones got put on the IR for the year. So that's
problem solved.
Yeah, it just like that came down, I think, within the past 45 minutes or so. And I think Darius Geis was another one, too. That's why you mentioned that. It's a good thing that we're coming up against the waiver wires. But, yeah, we had a couple guys who were put on IR for the year. And I think Alshon Jeffrey is probably going to join them pretty soon.
So, Rob in Iowa City.
No, just solve that. If okay. Marvin Jones is out, that solves.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
So 7548 asks to start 3 of these next 4 options. So sit 1 between David Montgomery, Devin Singletary, Joe Mixon, Philip Lindsay, and Chris Carson. So, yeah, I guess that's 5. So sit 2.
So sit 2. Okay, so you need to start 2, correct?
Start 3. So, sit, yeah, start 3.
Start 3. Okay, Lindsay's for sure starting for me. I like that matchup. I do think he's still going to be pretty involved, and he's actually been relatively productive. I think it's very clearly his job. So that'd be 1. I'm gonna go with Devin Singletary. I don't feel great about it, as I said. I don't like the matchup, but I do think that he's the best option. Give me the last 2 again. I'm sorry.
Last 2 are Philip Lindsay and Chris Carson.
Chris Carson was the one that I missed. Okay, Chris Carson would be my number 1 option of all of those. So it'll be Carson, Lindsay, Singletary.
Tristan will finish up with 91.36 tonight. PPR league, Joe Mixon or Tyler Lockett?
It's close, and I understand it's very difficult to trust Tyler Lockett with the production he's been putting forth for you lately. And Mixon will get more touches just because he's a running back, but it's a New England matchup. I don't like it at all. I've got Mixon ranked outside my top 20 running backs, and I'm worried about game flow. I'm going with Lockett.
We very rarely get to talk with you on Tuesday. A lot of leagues haven't run their waivers yet until about midnight tonight. Who are some of the names that you would expect to see most waiver claims among this week?
So outside of Tannehill, we've talked quite a bit about today. DeAndre Washington is an absolute must right now, especially with the Josh Jacobs injury. He should be, the number 1 option because it's a good matchup for him against Jacksonville. Patrick Laird among running backs, another good option to add. I would say Anthony Miller among wide receivers. And then my personal favorite matchups-wise is Justin Watson of the Buccaneers. Watson is a guy who could step up in Mike Evans' absence. If they give him an expanded role, I do think he can put up good numbers. Now, I hope it's not like the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside situation where they just don't give him a huge role, but he's got the talent to thrive, and I would certainly take a chance.
You're a Phillies fan, right, if I remember correctly?
I'm a Yankees fan.
You're
I'm
a Yankees fan.
Gregorius just signing Phillies.
Now, I was going to ask you about Gregorius, but that works out anyway. You think that's a good landing spot for him?
I do, actually, yeah. One of the nice things is that he's a big pull power guy, likes to loft the ball in the air, and Philly is a very good ballpark for left-handed power, especially down the line. So I think he's a very good get for them and a good defender.
Are the Angels going to get Rendon?
I'm thinking, see, the thing for me as a Yankee fan, I'm scared that the Angels are getting Garrett Cole. But I do think Rendon, they might be in this a little bit because they're starting to feel maybe the Yankees outbid them easily for Cole, and then they need a fallback. So, yeah, I could absolutely see it.
Baseball season will be here before you know it. Good luck the rest of the way with the teams you've still got active in the playoffs. And thanks for accommodating us this week, Tristan. Enjoy the Christmas program tomorrow.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and thank you, too.
Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. If you missed anything as far as getting your questions answered, ESPN.com weekly fantasy rankings are out. That is free. I don't believe it's on the Insider platform. You just click on it. You can click on Tristan's name, and it sorts out his individual rankings. It also gives you the overall cumulative rankings for the week. And we had two or three questions, including Rob in Iowa City, that all involved Marvin Jones. And I didn't see that. It must have come out just while we were on the air with Tristan. But he said he's on IR for the rest of the year. So it's tough. You get to this point and you're in the playoffs and suddenly you lose one guy or you have one bad break go your way or go against you. And following along with that game last night, I'm thinking, okay, Zach Ertz and Golden Tate, I'm going to actually pull this off. Golden Tate had a pretty quiet night. Zach Ertz gets the touchdown in overtime, and the shirtless Podolaks have to settle for a fifth place finish this
year. At least you got to the playoffs.
At least I got to the playoffs. There's no money in fifth place. We don't do this for the pride or the glory. We do it for the money. We appreciate Tristan joining us, and we appreciate Imon Communications sponsors. We appreciate Imon Communications sponsorship. If you did not get your fantasy football questions asked and answered tonight, we'll give you another opportunity coming up on local programming tomorrow between 3 and 4. 3 and 4. I don't think there's anything loopy in the cold medicine like codeine or anything like that.
Chris, it's the steroids.
Chris Liss of rotowire.com joins Scott Unash and Mark Dukes tomorrow between 3 and 4 on the Gym Class to answer your fantasy football questions, again, courtesy of Imon Communications. And tune in to Scott and Mark tomorrow because they're going to have an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, which you can then turn around and use with us next week when we're back at Mulligan's for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Aaron Rod, the questions, fantasy football is a wonderful thing because you got people out there who don't play it who are football fans going, who in the hell would start Ryan Tannehill over Aaron Rodgers?
I have to explain to people every year, fantasy football-wise, Tom Brady is awful.
Sam Darnold or Tom
Brady. And
he has been
for years. He's been awful.
You know, I'm surprised we didn't get any Tom Brady questions this week, but I think that's because most people realize Brady is what he is at this point.
It's like, let's start Ryan Fitzpatrick instead of Tom Brady this week. That's a legitimate play that you see at times throughout the course of the season, depending on the matchups. You know what? Nobody can convince me that fantasy football is about anything other than luck. I thought I drafted well this season. I thought that David Montgomery was going to be the next Kareem Hunt, and splat. Had the worst season of my life.
I thought I had a great draft. I wound up having a terrible draft. I was able to somehow, like a phoenix, rise from the ashes, get into the playoffs, and then Zach Ertz catches an overtime touchdown pass last night, and I'm done. Kaput. Remember, Matthew Berry had Baker Mayfield as a top five fantasy quarterback at the beginning of the season, and he is paid to be a fantasy football expert. That's why I would like having Tristan on. Matthew Berry is the big fancy name. Everybody, the name brand.
Oh, Matthew Berry.
Tristan is sort of he's the guy that maybe he's not as well known as Matthew, but Tristan will join us here on the program, and we like Tristan for that. So give him a follow.
He's the Phil Parker to the Kirk Ferentz. He's the brains behind the scheme of the defense / the scheme of fantasy football experts at ESPN. That's Tristan, the Sultan of Stat.
At Sultan of Stat on Twitter, give him a follow. He will answer all of your fantasy football questions. We go from fantasy football to real-life baseball. The winter meetings underway in San Diego, California. Are the Cubs serious about trading Chris Bryant, and what could they possibly get in return for him? D.D. Gregorius goes to Philadelphia. The Angels appear to be making room for possibly Gerrit Cole and Anthony Rendon. Needless to say, the hot stove is heating up. We will tackle that next, but before we can get there, we need to give you a word on what's going on in the Eastern Iowa sports scene with a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. It's not plastic decking, it's composite decking. That is the term that I was looking for earlier when I so clumsily talked about making those plans for spring and summer outdoor improvements around your home. Check out the composite decking options that Alexander Lumber has to offer you at their brand new location on 420th Street in Iowa City, just a couple blocks east of Sinclair Gas Station and that famous big green dinosaur. Here he is, our very own Alex Kuhn.
The Iowa basketball team picked up a 72-52 victory last night over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Joe Wieskamp and Luca Garza both had outstanding performances for the Hawkeyes, who moved to 1-1 in the Big Ten. Wieskamp made 5 of 7 three-point attempts on his way to 23 points, while Luca Garza tacked on 21 points and 10 rebounds. Iowa will head to Ames next to play the Iowa State Cyclones on Thursday. Tip-off for that game is scheduled for 7 p.m. Luca Garza found out today that he became the first player in Iowa basketball history to be named the Oscar Robertson Player of the Week for his performances last week, which included that 44-point performance against Michigan. The 8-1 UNI basketball team will get their stiffest test of the season as they're in Boulder, Colorado tonight to take on the 24th-ranked Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs come in with a 7-1 record, with their only loss coming on Saturday at Kansas. Tip-off from the Coors Events Center is set to get going at 8 p.m. Central Time. Iowa defensive end A.J. Epinesa was named a finalist for the Polynesian College Football Player of the Year Award today. Epinesa is one of five finalists, and following the show tonight, we have high school basketball on all three of our KGYM frequencies on 1600 a.m., and 107.5 FN, we have girls action between Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Linmar. And on 106.3 FM, we have a boys game between West Delaware and Clear Creek, Amana.
Are the New England Patriots low-down dirty cheaters? Howard Balls are set to join us coming up at 6:03 tonight to discuss. But before we can get to the National Football League, we will tackle what's going on in San Diego at the winter meetings. Our discussion and phone lines open for you, 319-366-1600. A little baseball talk to warm you up on a cold December night in eastern Iowa on the way after this.
At C.P. Hoyt, the holiday season is all about gifts with purchase. And boy, do we have some amazing gifts with our amazing jewelry. I'm talking about great jewelry from Anya Hay, Shy Creations, Memoir, Forevermark, and Gabriel & Company, New York. With your purchase, the more you spend, the bigger your gift, like a Traeger pellet grill, a 55-inch Samsung TV, Apple AirPods, Yeti Ramblers. The more you spend, the bigger your gift. And of course, in C.P. Hoyt fashion, we'll have our spectacular jewelry in every price range and every style, whether you love the hottest new designs or if you're more traditional. We've got it all. Nothing's better than great gifts with amazing jewelry at C.P. Hoyt. And stop in on December 20th. 21st for a special visit from Santa Claus himself. It all starts Wednesday, December 11th through New Year's Eve at C.P. Hoyt, the place where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and has great gifts with purchase for the holidays.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
For great gift ideas this season, go to the Kid Zone on the lower level of Iowa Book. Get your kid game ready with game bibs and Hawkeye hoodies from their wide selection of Hawkeye Kids clothing. There's also children's books for toddlers through middle school, as well as games and quality toys. Shop the Kid Zone on the lower level of Iowa Book, downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Paint, No, Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are mail-in rebate. See store for details.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
5:33, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, KGYM. High school hoops on tap for you tonight. Girls and boys basketball action. It'll be the boys on 106.3 FM, West Delaware and Clear Creek, Amana, and Cedar Rapids, Washington, traveling to Linmar for girls action on 1600 AM. That game also available on 107.5 FM. All three high school basketball broadcasts set to begin at 7:30 tonight. We are with you until 7 o'clock. If you happen to miss anything from today's show, we've already had plenty of Hawkeye discussion with John Bonenkamp of Sports Illustrated and Hawkeye Maven. He joined us at 4:30. Just finished up a fantasy football segment with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. We'll have the podcast available for you shortly after we're off the air tonight at 7 o'clock on KGYMRadio.com. Don't forget, you can swing by the website and vote in the poll question while you're there. Do you expect Thursday night to be the final game this season for Iowa's Jordan Bohannon? Yes or no? It will be the 10th game Bohannon will play in this season, and that is pretty much the drop point for making the decision as to whether or not he's going to redshirt. Hip issues, suffering dating back to May when he had the hip surgery. Now it's the other hip that could be giving him some trouble. Not practicing in between games. The writing has been on the wall, I would say, since May. I think the decision's been made since May when he underwent the surgery. I think Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes have been preparing all along for life without Jordan Bohannon this year, but got a sense of false hope among some Hawkeye fans that he's going to try to power through this, that he's a competitor, that he looks fine out there. No, he doesn't. You guys are...
No, he doesn't look anything like he usually looks.
The folks on the Titanic who are saying, well, the ship is sort of listing a little bit to one side. I think we'll be able to ride this one out. No, you're just trying to convince yourself that you don't need to head to the lifeboat just yet. I don't think Iowa needs a lifeboat. Don't get me wrong. I think the Hawkeyes can still be an NIT team this year. I think that'd be a tremendous accomplishment without Jordan Bohannon, as long as nothing. You go to the nearest Staples or Home Depot and get the largest roll of bubble wrap that you can find, and when he's not on the court playing, you wrap Luka Garza in bubble wrap. If anything happens to him, so goes Garza, so goes Iowa's season, in my opinion. They got Joe Wieskamp, a fine player in his own right. He's going to be counted on heavily with Bohannon most likely done for the season, but where would they be without Luka Garza at this point? I mean, then you've got to give credit where credit is due, and that's going to be a heck of a battle Thursday night in Ames. We'll have it for you, 1600 AM, the Cyclone Radio Network. John Walters on the call. John was smiling quite a bit on Sunday night. I saw him on the ESPN broadcast of the Seton Hall contest, so always great to hear John on the KGYM airwaves. 319-366-1600. Again, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. I promised you a little baseball discussion at 5:30 on a Tuesday. The winter meetings going on in San Diego. I booked my flight earlier today.
You've never been, have you?
I've never been to San Diego. My only other time to California was 3 years ago for the Rose Bowl. I'm hoping that San Diego is a little bit more pleasant of an experience than that. Not anything related to the game. I just thought that the people in L.A. were a-holes and didn't
it's
really
completely different in San Diego.
Okay, you're getting a more laid back vibe.
Oh, completely
in San Diego. I know it's a big military town. Ed in Iowa City is very worried that I'm going to be crossing the border. Is that Tijuana? What's on the other
Tijuana,
side of?
And then there's Ensenada and Rosarita, which is down on the Baja California side. I've been there a couple of times. It was a lot more safe about 10 or 15 years ago, and then things got a little rough as far as relations between government and drug lords, and it became a little less safe.
Yeah, I think that's something that maybe 21-year-old Todd would have done. He would have been all about, you know, scooting down into Mexico and drinking some cervezas and coming back with a big old sombrero. And
there's a town about 20 miles across the border that has lobster burritos, and the whole town just serves lobster, and you can get lobster for like a lobster tails for like 10 or 15 bucks wherever you go, and it is heaven. This town is heaven, but
lobster tail burritos, con possibly kidnapped by drug lords.
Is that the risk you're willing to
take? Yeah. Hawk fans, there you go. The choice is yours. 319-366-1600. People won't get upset about those comments, but they'll get really mad about saying SeaWorld is animal cruelty. I don't want to go back to the text line in hour number one. It's my opinion that whale would probably be better off living out in the ocean on its own. Of course, then it's probably sucking up 800 pounds of plastic straws and suffocating on a beach somewhere. So maybe it is an animal cruelty to have the... And I'm done. I'm done talking about this. 319-366-1600. Let's get to baseball. That's what led us to San Diego, because that's where the winter meetings are being held. Alex, there's a lot of people that don't understand what's going on with the Chicago Cubs right now. And they are at a crossroads with Chris Bryant. They can't seem to sign him to a long-term extension. I don't know how much they've actually tried to do that. Javier Baez is a candidate for an extension as well. And the prevailing story, Ken Rosenthal and a number of baseball writers have been pumping out in San Diego, is that Theo Epstein and the Cubs are very serious about possibly trading Chris Bryant and or Wilson Contreras this offseason to give them some salary relief, which seems ridiculous when you look at the fact that the franchise won a World Series in 2016 and the Ricketts family seems to have turned the entire Wrigleyville area into one giant ATM that just spits out Cub-colored money. But there we are. There are a number of things at hand here, and I'm not going to sit here and defend the organization and trading a guy who was an MVP of the league just three seasons ago, but they counted on a lot of revenue coming in from the Marquee Sports Network. The problem is that they appear to have missed the regional sports network cash cow window by about two or three seasons. That if they would have done this, say, four or five seasons ago, they would have maximized their dollar value. Now, they're not getting as much from regional sports networks as previous teams have. You've got the problem of cord cutting. Fewer people are subscribing to traditional cable and satellite outlets. So they missed the window here as far as maximum revenue from the TV network. You also have, heading into 2022, the uncertain status of the collective bargaining agreement. There could possibly be a labor stoppage. There could be contentious negotiations. They don't know what the future is going to look like beyond 2021 at this point. So you have to keep that in mind when you're figuring out how to configure payroll. They have the luxury tax, which is something that I think it's easy for fans to say, okay, go ahead and blow through the luxury tax. Get into that second bracket. They've already passed it last year. They're going to pass it again this year. The penalties are going to be higher. The problem with that is then you start not only forfeiting money as far as a penalty goes. I think it's a 10% tax on your overage, but you're also then giving up draft picks. And what are draft picks in 2019 and 2020? Draft picks are how you acquire your Chris Bryants and Javier Baez's, your low-cost Kyle Schwarber, Ian Happ, Nico Horner, the guys who you are able to plug into your lineup and pay $600,000 a year at the start of their careers as opposed to $20 million a season, like Chris Bryant is hoping to make at some point and some point soon. You got all of this going on and other factors at play, like the fact that the Cubs seem to have leveraged all the money that they have into Tyler Chatwood and Yu Darvish and Jason Hayward, which is, again, bad timing with the TV network, bad timing to hand out contracts that traditionally would have been accepted in the game, say, 6 or 7 years ago. The Cubs handed out the Hayward contract, and then it's almost like overnight everybody in baseball decided, hey, wait a minute, those kind of deals aren't good anymore. And so now they've got a lot of money locked up in a small handful of players, guys like Tyler Chatwood and Hayward, who are declining, to put it mildly. Plus, they have massive holes to fill in that lineup. They need a center fielder. They need starting pitching. They need a second baseman, although the argument can be made that Nico Horner could possibly be the answer on the opening day roster. He certainly would be the affordable choice. And they also need to address the bullpen. So if you're Theo Epstein, you got a lot of holes to fill. You don't have any money to spend. You got to do what you got to do. And if that means trading a guy that was going to be the face of your franchise 4 years ago, 3 years ago, you're open to offers. Never say never. Listen to see what somebody may be willing to offer you, right?
Yes.
You're going to be brokenhearted if the Cubs trade Chris Bryant out of the division. I know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be
Cardinals
crying.
Fans are like, oh, man, boy, it's going to stink seeing Chris Bryant wear a Braves uniform
crying
or a Dodgers uniform.
Could we see more than one guy get traded? Because wouldn't that be what it would take for them to make a big splash this offseason? To bring back prospects, to replenish their farm system, and go out and spend some money? Because right now, you mentioned for Theo Epstein, you got to do what you got to do. Right now, they can't do anything, right? The people up above them are making it, so they can't do anything.
That's what they say. They say that there's no money. Tom Ricketts said this a year ago, that they didn't have any money, and it appears to be the talking point again this offseason. We don't have any money. We don't have any money. We don't have any money. Baseball teams have money. The problem is that during the last round of collective bargaining, they put into place this sort of soft salary cap with the luxury tax. And so you can spend $400 million a year on your payroll if you want to, but you're going to be taxed tremendously over the, what is it, 180, 220 million, whatever the cap is. I can never remember it. It changes from year to year, but you're going to pay a huge tax and forfeit draft picks for every overage. And you do it year after year after year. The penalties get harsher and more severe. So it's not a problem for the teams like the Marlins and the Pirates and, you know, the small market teams that take the revenue that gets shared with them and they don't spend it at all. It's more of a problem for the teams that have money, because it keeps them from using that to their advantage, which I think was the point. They didn't want the Yankees going out and putting $500 million in payroll on the books. Not that they would do that. I don't think anybody's crazy enough to commit that type of money to payroll. But it's been a hindrance to these big market teams, because they understand you have to strike that balance between spending money but also keeping those draft picks and keeping that low-cost labor of the future at hand, so that a Chris Bryant comes along. Remember when they brought Bryant up in 2014, he's making the major league minimum. And Wilson Contreras, guys like that who come up from the minor leagues, you'd rather have a Wilson Contreras than you would a, you know, give me a veteran catcher who's making millions of dollars, JT Realmuto or something like that. Now, Contreras is due through arbitration to get some very nice raises over the next couple years. That's one of the reasons they're looking at moving him this offseason, because his he's going to be cheaper than Chris Bryant over the next 2 years. And so he's got, you can argue that he would get a better return of prospects than Chris Bryant, because baseball is a mixed up, shook up world.
Why are we hearing these names and not a name like Kyle Schwarber?
Because they love Kyle Schwarber.
What is it about Kyle Schwarber that they are, love is an understatement, that they are infatuated with? We know what he is. He's coming off of a solid season, and you would think that his value is back up to the point where you could get something for him from an American League team to be their DH. Yet rounds and rounds of him going through waves keep coming, and they keep him, they keep running him out there, even though it has been proven that he's probably best suited as a DH in the American League.
There's no sympathy on the text line from non-Cubs fans at this point. The Cubs are not the only team in baseball that are dealing with this. We saw the Angels earlier today trade Zach Cozart to the San Francisco Giants. They actually threw in a first-round draft pick from last year and cash to the Giants. They're basically paying the Giants to take Zach Cozart's contract off their hands so that they can free up about $40 million under the luxury tax threshold so that perhaps they can make a run at both Anthony Rendon and Gerrit Cole, which, by the way, they are still at 50-1 in the World Series futures at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. And I'm telling you, if you want to throw a dart, Joe Maddon can take that team. He's going to have the best player in baseball in Mike Trout. He's going to have Shohei Ohtani. He's going to have a revamped rotation, which could feature Gerrit Cole and Dylan Bundy. Who else? They added another pitcher not all that long ago. The Nationals have proved all you need is a wild card. Get into the postseason with a wild card, and you've got a shot at getting to the World Series. 50-1? That's a dart that I'd be willing to throw. 319-366-1600-550. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way, including a notable Big Ten Heisman snub. Back with more after this.
They deserve a gift of jewelry this holiday season, and you deserve to save. So find something beautiful at Siegel's. Save 30 to 70% over retail store prices and choose from a huge selection of new and estate jewelry. Siegel's staff doesn't work on commission. Their only purpose is to help you select the perfect Christmas gift. So find just the thing and save at Siegel's in Cedar Rapids, First Avenue, one block south of Town & Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month,
listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351. That's 1-800-471-4351.
This is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help your house feel more like a home with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Ready? Okay. Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
What's that spell?
So-so.
Are we gonna win?
Not if we play like we cheer.
Just okay is not okay. Whether it's cheerleaders or your wireless network, AT&T is America's best wireless network. Best network based on GWS 1 score September 2019.
5:53, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. With you until 7 o'clock this evening, high school boys and girls basketball on tap at 7:30. Full schedule available for you at kgymradio.com. You can head on over there and vote in tonight's poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Is Thursday going to be it for Jordan Bohannon this season with the Hawkeyes, yes or no? Or as Alex put it earlier today, yes or yes. Seems to be the world's worst kept secret that he's going to be shutting it down. He said last night after Iowa's 20-point victory over Minnesota, he's just taking things day by day. Aren't we all? 5:54. We mentioned going into the break a notable Heisman Trophy snub, the Heisman presentation coming up this weekend in New York. Jonathan Taylor of Wisconsin is not going to be in New York. Now, I think most people know that Joe Burrow is going to run away with his award. At least that's the expectation, that that Joe Burrow is going to be a win handily. But Jonathan Taylor, in 3 years at Wisconsin, was a tremendous college football player. And it just seems to me that this is a little bit of a snub.
It's unbelievable in today's college football that a guy who ran for 1,900 yards twice and then over 2,100 yards last year. So 1,900 yards three straight years is not just not ever going to be a finalist, but not going to win the award. And there's a lot of lifetime achievement award going into who is ending up in Jonathan Taylor's place. And ultimately, Jalen Hurts found his name called because I think he got a little bit more press and a little bit more hype than Jonathan Taylor has during the course of his career.
25 yards away from breaking the all-time rushing record, and he'd be doing it in 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm not one to beat the Big Ten's drum or to be a regional guy or to homer it up, but I would have expected nationally a lot of people, especially with Wisconsin being in the discussion for most of the season with regard to the Big Ten, and maybe the Ohio State loss submarine things for him at that point. And you had other guys that rose to the occasion, Joe Burrow being one of them. But it just feels like Jonathan Taylor could go down in history as one of the most underappreciated running backs in college football history. And anybody who's seen him play, especially Iowa fans, know just how good he is. And I guess maybe you take home the Doak Walker Award as the
he
booby
did last
prize.
Year.
I don't know. I was surprised to see, and of course they're not going to bring everybody and their brother to New York for the Heisman presentation, but I thought maybe Jonathan Taylor would at least get a seat at the table. 5:57. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-285-4954. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-285-4954. 800-285-4954.
And now you've got the White Sox in San Diego that are kicking the tires with the Texas Rangers on Nomar Mazzara. Nothing firm there, but John Heyman reporting that Chicago is inquiring with the Texas Rangers. The hot stove continuing to heat up in San Diego. I'm sure we'll have some more developments to get into on the program tomorrow. We'll also have Iowa State and Iowa, the women's edition of the Cy-Hawk game to preview. Dargan Southard of the Press Citizen and the Des Moines Register going to be stopping by on the program. Gary Rima, fresh off calling the Colorado game tonight, will be with us tomorrow as well. All that and another edition of WagerWise, presented by the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, Iowa, set to come your way at 6 o'clock right here on KGYM tomorrow. So a packed Wednesday for you between the hours of 4 and 7. Coming up for you in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, it's another year and another New England Patriots cheating scandal. Or is it? Is this much ado about nothing? Howard Balzer, longtime league observer and friend of KGYM, said to join us coming up. We'll preview the Bears and Packers showdown with him. Is Tom Brady really done? And any other pressing football questions we have about the NFL, Howard is always game to tackle them. He'll do so with us next on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, top-ranked Louisville set to tip off against Texas Tech in moments on ESPN Radio, ESPN TV, and the ESPN app. The Cardinals are 9-0, their best start in 5 years, and there are plenty of reasons for their early season success, notes ESPN's Jay Billis.
They've got size, they've got speed, they've got depth, and they've got really good young talent, but they've also got some older players, and I think having these fifth-year seniors is really helpful to Louisville. Across the board, this is a solid team on the defensive end, and they can score.
Following Louisville and Texas Tech, Connecticut and Indiana meet up in the second game of tonight's Jimmy V Classic. Baseball, according to ESPN's Buster Olney, the Yankees have offered free agent pitcher Garrett Cole a deal worth more than the seven-year, $245 million contract Steven Strasburg and the Nationals agreed to. Specifics of the Yankees' offer not yet known. Phillies agreed to a one-year, $14 million deal with shortstop Didi Gregorius, reports NBC Sports Philadelphia. NFL. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson says he'll play Thursday night against the Jets, despite being limited the past two practices with a quads injury. Jets coach Adam Gase said running back Le'Veon Bell won't be disciplined by the team for Saturday night's bowling outing. Bell was ruled out for Sunday's game against Miami by the medical staff recovering from the flu. Gase acknowledges the optics were bad, but Bell did not violate any team rules. NHL Golden Knights goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury returns tonight against the Blackhawks. He missed the last seven games following the death of his father.
Coming up Wednesday, there may not be any more college football rankings coming out this season, but my NFL top three-ish is still going, and that's just getting started. Plus, a friend of the show is up to no good for all the right reasons. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
In- Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
6:03, welcome in the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com with you until 7 o'clock tonight. High school basketball on tap, boys and girls action at 7:30, and another week of the NFL in the books last night with the game between the Giants and the Eagles. Eli Manning looking like vintage Eli Manning at points, and then looking like vintage Eli Manning at other points in the game. Speaking of the NFL, his name is Howard, and he covers the NFL. It's a friend of the program, Howard Balzer, joining us. It's been a while since we've checked in with you. And Howard, we have to start with, stop me if you've heard this one before, but the New England Patriots have been accused of doing something nefarious. Are we buying the excuse here that this is just a misunderstanding, that they were videoing the Cincinnati Bengals sideline as part of this online video series that they have at their website, or are we once again embroiled in another cheating scandal with Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
That's the question of the day, and it certainly leads you to believe that maybe they're telling the truth, the Patriots are, on this one, mainly because would you really have to film the Bengals? I mean, that's a little bizarre in itself. But the problem is, because of the history, they did come clean right away and acknowledge the mistake. And of course, I'm fairly certain that through the credentialing process that they got a credential for the game based on what they said this was for. But it's hard to imagine that the Patriots would be that blatant about it when they know the history. The flip side, though, is how could this person who is filming it do that? Let's just accept that it was a mistake. Well, you've got to know absolutely that that's the one thing you can't do because of the history. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the NFL does. And heck, even if they buy their explanations and believe it, then you have to think that because of the history, they're going to have to give them a fine or something. So it's just crazy that the Patriots would be, you know, involved in something like this. And like I said, with the record they have now, granted they're having some struggles and all those things, but still, you know, they're taking the, and I think most of the signals were from the offense, which isn't very good. And if there's one thing that's strong with the Patriots right now is their defense, and that they shouldn't have too many issues when they play them. But it's like the famous line a few years ago when the Patriots lost, I think it was a Monday night game to the Chiefs, and Belichick didn't want to answer too much about it, so he just kept saying, hey, we're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. Well, now they're on to Cincinnati for a whole nother reason. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see what the league does about it.
It's interesting because can intent matter at this point? Because I understand that their excuse is, but they've admitted to doing something wrong. And how many times are we going to go through this franchise?
Yeah. No, that's the question. Now, you know, the one thing is they did it it was about 8 minutes. You know, so it wasn't exactly like they were filming and being able to gather what they were doing throughout a course of the game and really get a feel for what they're doing. So when it's that short amount of time, it kind of speaks to the fact that this is what they say it was. But you make a valid point. I mean, whatever it is, whether it's unintentional, and that's why I say, if we accept the fact that it is unintentional, which Patriots haters will never believe, but even if it was intentional, the league can't ignore it because of the history and because of what this team obviously has done in the past and the way the optics are. I mean, if the league just comes out and says, okay, it was no big deal, well, and doesn't fine them or do something, that a lot of people are going to complain about that, and it won't be a good look for the league.
Howard, one of the major sports websites has a headline on a story today that says, don't bury the Patriots just yet. Now, we've been down this road with this organization before, getting back to their performance on the field and not any of the hijinks off it, but doesn't this time feel a little bit different? I mean, you look at Tom Brady, he comes into the post-game interview with the ice on the elbow. The offense looks like it's mired in mud at times. Is this time different with the Patriots?
It does appear that it is different, and at least for this season. Now, it doesn't mean that this is it and it's over, and you know, but you know, who knows with all the rumors and the stuff going on about what might happen after the season with Tom Brady, who becomes a free agent, and the Patriots can't franchise him. So, aside from all that, this one does appear different because it's not a matter of, okay, guys just aren't playing well, or they have the players and they're just not compete, you know, they're just not playing well. Well, they don't. You know, their offensive line has had issues all year, pretty much, and has had injuries and guys moving around. They're not blocking in the running game. The receivers are just average. They still haven't been able, no one expected them to find a tight end that would replace Rob Gronkowski and be able to replace his production, but you would have thought they would have come up with something that it would at least gotten some of that production back, which they have not. You know, they've had to make moves during the season to try to overcome it. Obviously they picked up Antonio Brown early. That didn't work out. They made a trade for Mohamed Sanu. He's been injured. You know, that's a part of it too, is that, you know, and we know that the Patriots list everybody pretty much on the injury report as questionable, but three of their receivers have been on the injury report almost every week for the last month or so. You know, with Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu, and Philip Dorsett. So even if they're playing, they have some kind of thing bothering them, and so they're probably not able to play at 100%. So you put all those things together, and the offense obviously is having issues, and when they play against teams with a pretty good defense, they're going to struggle. And so I think this obviously makes it wide open in the AFC for coming out who goes to the Super Bowl. And there's a chance that they might not get a first round bye. And if that happens where they don't get a bye, even with a first round home game as the division winner, I doubt that they can win three playoff games in a row to get to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, we'll see. You know, like I said, we'll see what happens because they've been buried before, but you're right. I think you're right. This one does feel a bit different. Now, the other thing is their defense is still really good. So that will keep them in games, and if they can just get any semblance of offense, they might be able to steal some games in the postseason. But, you know, again, you're going to be playing good teams in the postseason, the ones that make it, whether it's Kansas City again, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Houston again. Tennessee is a team to really, you know, keep an eye on. So there's going to be some tough games for this team to play against some pretty good defenses in the postseason.
You mentioned
the Bills. You know, who knows? They could end up playing the Bills.
You mentioned all the factors on the offensive side of the football. Does Tom Brady have some responsibility for sort of the downturn of this offense?
Well, I mean, he hasn't played well, but I'm always a proponent of, a lot of times when quarterbacks don't play well, it's because of what's around them and all the things we've talked about. I mean, this whole notion, and I hear it sometimes in the NFL, well, you know what? He's not making his team better. He's not doing this. And I often hear that. I say, this isn't high school. I mean, this is the NFL. And you're playing against a lot of great players, even on teams that aren't that good. There's excellent players on a lot of teams. And so, and granted, you know, are the injuries bothering him? You know, that could be part of it. But he's certainly not what he was 3-5 years ago, but he's still good enough, and he was good enough for the team to get where they were, where the offense was playing a lot better. But it seems to have entered a down phase, and it hasn't improved as the season has gone along, which is usually what happens to the Patriots. But like I said, I think a lot of those things I've mentioned, the injuries at all the different levels of that offense and not being able to run the ball. Now, they've never been that good of a running or that much of a running team, but they got some really good running last year from Sony Michel, and he hasn't played as well as he did. And a lot of that is the offensive line. So while, yeah, it's a team game and Brady bears some of the burden, but I think, like I said, most of it is because of what's around him.
Howard, I think one of the most surprising performances in the NFL so far this year, the emergence of Lamar Jackson. Should we have seen this coming this season from the Baltimore quarterback?
I not at this level. I mean, I think that most we saw what he was capable of last year, but in a brief period. Then we also saw what the Chargers were able to do in the playoff game and found a way to stop that offense. And so you wondered, how will it be this year? How will it go? I don't know that anybody could have predicted that a guy with three games left in the season, he'd be over 1,000 yards rushing. And he is a little banged up this week, which is interesting. And so that's always the fear when you have a quarterback that runs a lot, that he's going to get injured. It's not major, but you know, if you have it's like Kyler Murray a couple of weeks ago. Now the Cardinals aren't as good a team, but when Kyler Murray had a hamstring and they couldn't do a lot of the things that they wanted to do. So that's a question. But I think one of the biggest additions that the Ravens made in this offseason was adding Mark Ingram. And so now you've got a two-headed monster there at running back with Ingram and Gus Edwards. You've got Jackson being able to do what he's doing. They brought in a coordinator, Greg Roman, who knows the way to get the most out of him. And that's they're just playing tremendously. So, no, I don't know that anybody thought that the Ravens, that he would be over 1,000 yards rushing and that the Ravens would be 11-2 at this point. I think we expected them to be good and challenge, but not to this level.
Another great story that isn't getting nearly as much publicity as Lamar Jackson in Baltimore is the Tennessee Titans' emergence after they bench Marcus Mariota. They've won four consecutive games with Ryan Tannehill. Are you buying in on this team? Because I see a lot of people around the league and people who cover the sport saying this is a team that if they get into the playoffs, nobody's going to want to play.
Well, you know, I hear that cliche quite a lot.
Right.
Well, who wants to play anybody in the playoffs? I mean, does anybody want to play the Ravens?
No.
Does anybody want to play the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, the best teams in the league, six teams in each conference, get in. Now maybe sometimes you got a sixth wild card that isn't that good. But if they get in, it's going to be because they've continued to play well down the stretch and they're on a roll. And so that's the thing about it. But they are emerging. I mentioned them earlier. And what Tannehill has been able to do, healthy, which has always been the biggest question about him when he was in Miami, with an excellent running game with Derrick Henry, and Tannehill doesn't make mistakes, and that defense is very good. So they've got all the ingredients to be a playoff team, and it starts this coming week because they play the Texans twice in the final 3 weeks of the season. So in effect, you know, the old cliche, they control their own destiny. Obviously, if they knock off the Texans twice, they're winning the division. And then after that, they're getting a home game, and they will be. A tough out. But like I said, I think when you get to the playoffs, most of the teams there are tough outs. I won't say that about Dallas and Philadelphia in the NFC, but most teams in the playoffs are tough outs.
In that NFC East, who's the less incompetent team? Who gets into the playoff by default and somehow gets a home game?
Yeah, that's the big question. It'll probably come down to the game in 2 weeks, week 16, when the Eagles host the Cowboys. And it could be the winner of that game goes on. Of course, the Eagles have two other relatively easy games with the Redskins and the Giants. So even if they lose that game, you know, they could be 9-7. And the difference could be the Cowboys playing the Rams this week. But, you know, even if they lose to the Rams, it'd be 6-8. If they can beat the Eagles, then they've got that, you know, that seventh win. And then their last game is against, I think that's against the Redskins. So I think it's kind of a toss of a coin. It comes down to who wins that game. And I don't know if you can predict it right now because you just don't know what you're going to get. I see that the Cowboys maybe is a little more talented right now, but you just never know. I mean, because, you know, they start out like gangbusters, what they've done the last 2 weeks, scoring a touchdown on their first drive and looking like a machine, and then all of a sudden they disappear. So it's very difficult to predict what you're going to get from either of those teams. And like I said, I think it's a flip of the coin. I might go with the Eagles to win that game when they play each other because it's a home game, but who knows? I mean, who knows? Look what the Eagles did last night. You know, they were at home and they almost lost to the Giants. So, you know, that just shows how impossible to predict, this division is. But the biggest ridiculousness is that one of those teams will get a home game, probably against either the 49ers or the Seahawks, who could have 12, 13 wins, but have to go on the road to play one of those teams just because that's what the rules say. I think it's been a bad rule the NFL has had now. And this is its 18th season in this format. I've never liked it. There's too many games like that where the wild card team has a better record than the team that won the division, but the league keeps doing it. They don't seem to have any appetite to change it. I don't understand their reasoning. They give reasons, but to me it doesn't make sense, and it's not a good look for the league. And it'll be even a worse look this year if the win differential is somewhere around 5, which would be the largest it's ever been for one of those first round games when you have a situation like that. You know, this has happened. I track this. It's happened 23 times over the last 17 seasons where the wild card team with the worst record had to go on the road 23 times. So it happens. There's only been 3 seasons where it didn't happen. But there's never been a win differential more than 4. If this one is more than 4, I just think that's a bad look for the league, but they don't seem to care about it.
Howard Balzer talking NFL with us here on KGYM. You brought up the 49ers a while ago. Should we have seen this coming, or did they sneak up on us this season?
No, there's no way. When you look at their roster and you figure, okay, their defense looks pretty good, that's improving. If Garoppolo can stay healthy, they should be pretty solid. The surrounding talent wasn't that great. Let's remember, back in training camp, everyone was saying, well, they got Jerick McKinnon back, and he missed all last season with a knee injury. They got him back, and so that should help the running game. Then he got hurt again, and he's missed the season. But they've gotten it and their wide receivers aren't that good. But they have probably the best tight end in the league in George Kittle. The offensive line has really done a nice job, even though for a long stretch of time they were playing without Joe Staley, their excellent left tackle. So while you could certainly understand a team improving if a lot of the things I just mentioned went well, I don't think there's anybody could have predicted that they would have, put together the season that they have. It's been very, very impressive. I would think that Kyle Shanahan might be the odds-on favorite to be coach of the year. But there's been a lot of coaches who have done excellent jobs. I mean, heck, look what Mike Tomlin has done with all the adversity they've had. But what the 49ers have done is tremendously impressive. And whatever happens with them the rest of the way, whether they win the division or not, whether they don't last long in the playoffs, this is a team I think that's going to be around for a while.
Is this Mike Tomlin's best coaching job?
It very well might be. And I get asked that a lot. And when you look at it and – they lose. They're on their third quarterback. They've been playing the last few weeks without two of their best offensive players, with James Conner, the running back, and the wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. Of course, they traded Antonio Brown in the offseason, and you look at it and you say, how are they doing it? Well, certainly an improved defense has been a big part of it. That keeps games close, and as long as the offense, whether the quarterback is now Duck Hodges or whoever, they don't make mistakes. And they keep games close, and when you have close games, you have a chance to win, and that's what they've been doing. And I'm hearing that Connor and Smith-Schuster might be back this week. If that's the case, now they're even better. So I don't know how far they can go in the playoffs with the quarterback they have, because he's done a nice job, but the playoffs are a whole nother story. But with those other players around him and a good defense, who knows? They might be able to spring an upset or two.
Howard, Bears, Packers this weekend, a great rivalry, Packers leading the division. Are you a little surprised that Matt LaFleur has had this amount of success in his first year on the job? Most wins by a first-year coach in Green Bay history.
Yeah, it's been very impressive, and I think what they've done is, certainly they've obviously a big factor is a healthy Aaron Rodgers, although they haven't had a lot of health in their receiving core. but they've got the job done there. I think their team MVP is probably Aaron Jones, the running back, because when the Packers have been pretty darn good, and they've always been pretty good, but when they've been better than other years is when they've been able to run the football, and that hasn't been a lot of the time. And they've been able to do that. He's a good receiver out of the backfield as well. And the defense is doing a very nice job. And the best thing Matt LaFleur did was keep Mike Pettine as defensive coordinator. And that defense, and just as I was saying with Pittsburgh, defense keeps you in the game, and you don't have to score. I think the Packers used to be in a mode of they had to score 30 to 40 points to win. Well, if you have to do that all the time, that's awful tough. But what the running game does too, it keeps your defense off the field. And it keeps them fresh. So I think they've really committed. And Mike McCarthy used to say it all the time: "We have to run more." Well, it's one thing to say it; it's another thing to do it. And McClure has committed to that, and I think that's a big factor in why they've had such a successful season to this point.
Having said all that, there's something about that team where I'm not – something's giving me pause about anointing them as a Super Bowl contender. Am I off base here, or do you think that this is a team that can make a run in the playoffs?
Well, you know, I see where you're coming from, and I understand that because when you look at some of the other teams, you say, okay, they might not just have enough for one of them. But I always subscribe to the Tony La Russa theory – a great baseball manager who always said the biggest issue is getting into the postseason. Once that happens, anything can happen. And in the NFL, even more so, because you don't have to win a lot of games to make a move. So once you get there, you play your best game and do a nice job against one of these better teams, and you can move on. So while I would pick someone else probably to get to the Super Bowl, and I said this last, I think the NFC has probably more good teams at the top than the AFC does. So I think when you look at the six teams that will, let's remember, you know, the Rams could be end up 11-5 and not even be in the playoffs. So you look at the six teams that will be there with the exception of the NFC East, and you could probably make a case for just about any of them, you know, winning those games to get to the Super Bowl. So yeah, I wouldn't list the Packers as a favorite, but if they play their game and everything goes right, then yeah, they could win some of those games and maybe get that far.
Howard Balzer with us talking NFL, Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you who you think the leader in the clubhouse to replace Jason Garrett's going to be.
I don't even know if that's possible to guess because, and one of the things about it is that we'll hear all these names thrown out. You know, you hear Lincoln Riley, you hear now the latest Urban Meyer, you know, and all this. Well, are any of those top quality guys going to take a job where Jerry Jones is the face of the franchise and Jerry Jones does all the interviews he does and Jerry Jones injects him into everything with that franchise? Personally, I think that's one of the problems with that team. If I'm a coach going in there and I have any gravitas, I'm saying, okay, yeah, I'll coach it, but you stay on the sideline. We don't need you muddying the water with things you say and things you do. Well, Jerry Jones can't do that. And that's why, if you look at this team since 1996, the year after they won their last Super Bowl, they've been not much better overall than a 500 team. And that's a fact. That's not opinion. So given that, then you wonder, well, who will take this job? Who will take this job knowing the constraints and knowing the way it is with them? It's not so much that they can't find good talent, because they have some good talent. But I think all those other things create distractions, and that's the worst thing you can have on a football team, I believe.
Do you think Jerry Jones is more of a factor than Jason Garrett is as far as holding back this team? Because this team is so talented, and week in and week out, we don't know which one's going to show up on the field.
Well, first of all, I don't think they're that talented. I think there's been a little overrating of their talent. That's number one. They have good players, don't get me wrong. But it's not like they're clearly have all this better talent than anybody else. And so that's where being a team and everybody being on the same page is so important. And I think any team, I mean, what other team is there in sports, in any sport, where the owner is the guy who's out front in the cameras and the microphones and does what Jerry Jones does? I'm fairly certain there's not another team like that in all of professional sports.
Maybe the Washington Redskins?
Well, no, Dan Snyder, I don't think he does a good job of running things, but he doesn't do
right.
interviews.
Right.
You know, he's not out there talking after every game. He doesn't have a radio show. I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And I think that's a big part of their problem.
Howard, always appreciate talking NFL with you. We'll kick another week off with Thursday Night Football, and we'll touch base with you down the road.
Look forward to it, man. Take care.
A longtime NFL observer, front office executive Howard Balzer. Didn't even get to ask him about Le'Veon Bell and the Jets and whether or not they would be willing to trade him. He went bowling the other night after reportedly being ill. Not a good look, but a better look. To bowl a career high 251.
The flu round.
I don't want to steal thunder from Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, and Bowling Night in America is
yeah,
a gym class thing, but maybe we could roll in Le'Veon Bell some night on a Wednesday, drop him off at Bay City Bowl, and turn things up a notch or two at
Le'Veon,
the Evergreen League.
If you're ever in the area, if you're listening right now, sorry, I'm pulling a Stephen A. Smith.
There you go. My good friend. My good friend.
My dear, dear friend.
319-366-1600, 628. Before we get to our next timeout, let's fulfill our final obligation as far as a Big Board update is concerned. Big Board updates brought to you three times a day on the program by Alexander Lumber. They're a lot more than just a hardware store. You can check out the interior showroom, Answers by Alexander, on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Here's Alex.
The Iowa basketball team moved to 7-3 overall and 1-1 in the Big Ten with a 72-52 victory last night over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Joe Wieskamp and Luka Garza were outstanding for the Hawkeyes. Wieskamp was 5-7 from 3 on his way to 23 points, while Luka Garza tacked on 21 points and 10 rebounds, and was also the first Iowa basketball player in history to be named the Oscar Robertson Player of the Week for his performances last week against his 44-point performance against Michigan. Iowa will play Iowa State on Thursday in Ames. Tip-off for that game is scheduled for 7 p.m. The UNI basketball team will get their stiffest test of the season as they are in Boulder, Colorado tonight to take on the 24th-ranked Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs come in with a 7-1 record. Their only loss came Saturday against Kansas. Tip-off from the Coors Event Center is set for 8 p.m. Central Time. Iowa defensive end A.J. Epinesa was named a finalist for the Polynesian College Football Player of the Year today. Epinesa is one of five finalists. High school basketball tonight on KGYM on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and 107.5 FM. We're going to have a girls game between Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Linmar. And then on 106.3 FM, we'll have West Delaware boys taking on Clear Creek Amana. And those games will get underway at 7:25 for the pregame shows.
All right, 6:30 on the dot. We will step aside and take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will head into the home stretch here on a Tuesday evening. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. We return after this.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Your life is full, with good friends and family topping the list. Create an even more welcoming space for them this holiday season with elegant cabinetry from Decora. Meticulously handcrafted, solid hardwood, custom milled cabinets. Whether you envision a gleaming new kitchen, impressive entry, or updated entertaining area, Decora has discriminating details at an approachable budget. Consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
The best gift ideas come from Iowa Book. A popular gift for that Hawkeye fan on your list is an Iowa t-shirt, sweatshirt, jacket, or cap from Iowa Book. You will find the largest selection of Hawkeye gear and gifts in the world at Iowa Book. They have all the top brands like Nike, Russell, Champion, Columbia, and Under Armour. For everything Hawkeye, shop Iowa Book. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a Resort Club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
When class isn't in session, take part in weekend extracurricular activities on Smart FM. Glenn Gardner takes you on a journey to concerts all over the world on Live from the Soundboard. Chris Jackson's got alternative rock on Where It's At. And of course, hit the lunchroom for the Beatles Buffet Sunday mornings. Weekends are better with extracurricular activities on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
6:33, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, finishing up on a Tuesday evening here, a jam-packed Wednesday program for you. We'll kick it off with Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, coming up tomorrow at 4:30. Our apologies to our UNI fans. We will not be bringing you the Colorado UNI game tonight from Boulder due to our high school basketball obligations, but we will certainly give you and I the deference that the Panthers deserve tomorrow at 4:30 with Gary. Also on the program tomorrow, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen stops by. He will preview the women's edition of the Cy-Hawk Showdown at Hilton Coliseum in Ames between Lisa Bluter's Hawkeyes and Bill Fennelly's Cyclones. Ashley Jones, the Iowa City product, once again will feature prominently in that showdown for the Cyclones. And then on Thursday, it'll be the men's turn to head to Ames. Can the Cyclones figure out a way to contain Luca Garza? And I'll be interested to see what the point spread in that game is going to be. I'm wagering a guess Iowa State will be about a 5-point favorite. Just a hunch. We'll find out sometime Thursday when the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside posts their men's college basketball line. Speaking of the Elite Sports Book, tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock. We will discuss some of the early bowl lines with Jake Reed, the sports book manager at the Elite Sports Book in Riverside, as well as Bears Packers and some of the pertinent NFL games this week. That is a paid presentation of Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. It comes your way every Wednesday at 6 o'clock right here on KGYM. Speaking of Iowa men's basketball, Alex, we tackled this in the 4 o'clock hour. John Bonenkamp of Sports Illustrated and Hawkeye Maven stopping by to discuss last night's 20-point win over the Gophers. That's not a great Minnesota basketball team. It did not look to me like an NCAA tournament team that Richard Pitino has on his hands this year, but the Hawkeyes throttled them by 20 points. That was exactly what you want to see an Iowa basketball team do to an inferior opponent last night.
Absolutely. Like, I was most impressed with the job that they were able to do defensively, not giving Daniel Oturo good looks at the basket. Now, he had a very good game, but they forced him into several travels. He was going to get his points, but they played good perimeter defense. Joe Toussaint could be this team's spark off the bench, reminiscent of what Nicholas Bear has been. Obviously, two completely different players, but I had asked coming into this year, a lot of people who cover this program, who can they replicate what they got off the bench from Nicholas Bear? Because that is going to be a void that is going to be tough to fill. Joe Toussaint can do a lot of things that can bring this team some energy. The speed and sort of the reckless abandon that he plays the game with, I think can definitely give this team some life on any given night where maybe they get off to a little bit of a slow start, or maybe if they get off to a run in a game, they can extend it out because of the energy that he brings off the bench. But maybe we move the goalposts a little bit. Maybe we think of this team as an NIT team without Jordan Bohannon. Jordan Bohannon's playing one more game this season, and then we're going to get a very in-depth look at what this team looks like without him. Not with him playing the two, not with him coming off the bench, not with him playing 17 minutes, completely without him. And I will say, after the first couple games of seeing what that looks like, we'll have a much better read on this team.
The poll question tonight at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, is whether or not Thursday is going to be Jordan Bohannon's swan song with the Hawkeyes in the 2019-2020 season. I certainly expected the voting results to be 100% yes. That's not the case. I don't know whether we have people delusional enough to think that he's going to try to play the rest of this season, or if it's just trolls trying to muddy up the results, but you can vote now at KGYMRadio.com. No points last night for the former Linmar standout. 0 for 4 from the floor, including 0 for 2 from beyond the arc, but 10 assists, and perhaps more importantly, acted as sort of a cattle prod for Joe Wieskamp, who went off for 23 points and then discussed after the game last night that he wanted to help get Wieskamp going, sort of a preemptive passing of the offensive baton, at least from the backcourt from Bohannon to Wieskamp. So you've got Luka Garza as an inside presence with 21 last night, double-double for him, added 10 rebounds, and then you've got C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp. Throw into the mix Joe Toussaint, Connor McCaffrey, what they can bring to the floor. You got a little bit of depth, but not a whole lot with Ryan Kreener and Cordell Pemsel as far as big men go, with Jack Nungy sidelined. This is a Hawkeye team that I think is going to be a difficult out for teams in the Big Ten this season once conference play resumes. Again, that wasn't a good Minnesota team that was at Carver Hawkeye Arena last night, but they beat them by 20 points. They took care of business. If they squeaked by them, say, I think the point spread was 6. If they win by 5 or 6 points last night, I think we're sitting here and going, okay, Jordan Bohannon's not going to play moving forward. I'm a little concerned about this. I'm no longer as concerned about the Iowa basketball team as I was at the beginning of the season, knowing that Jordan Bohannon is going to play one more game and shut it down this season. They look like a team capable of winning 17, maybe 18 games and getting into the NIT, which I think at the beginning of the season, after everything that the Hawkeyes lost last year to the NBA and graduation and transfers, that would be a heck of an accomplishment.
I think it would. Now, there are always going to be the people out there that say, get into the tournament or bust, but I don't think that, looking at the context of what we saw going into the year and now seeing Jack Nungy go down with an ACL injury, that is all that realistic, especially with the schedule that they have upcoming in the Big Ten. And once again, there will be nights where they look really bad, especially away from Carver Hawkeye Arena. And I can almost bet every year they have a game, sort of a clunker, at Carver Hawkeye Arena as well. So we'll find out Thursday night what they look like away from home in a hostile environment once again, against a team that they don't like and a team that doesn't like them very much.
This should be, I'm trying to think of, well, every year we say this, that there's anticipation around the men's basketball game between the, but we don't often always get that. I think this is going to be a game where both sides are a little bit concerned. It's not necessarily that you're confident that you're going to win. I think Iowa State fans are looking at Luka Garza as the boogeyman here, and Iowa is looking at some of the aspects that Iowa State has and knowing that they have to go to Hilton Coliseum. And so instead of feeling great about your side's chances, I think both fan bases are looking sort of wearily out of the corner of their eye at the other team here. And that's what makes, at least to me, what makes for this to be a really fascinating game on Thursday, because I think some Iowa State fans are a little concerned that Iowa's coming loaded for bear and the Jordan Bohannon. This is just sort of set up for that Hollywood type of storyline, right, where Jordan Bohannon's going to shut it down for the season and he's going to go to Ames and go off for 25, 28 points or something like that. I don't know if I would put my money on that, but I think that's maybe where some Iowa State fans are trying to convince themselves that that's the case, because we saw Cordell Pemsel play against them last year and then shut it down and not play. Look,
well, it's pretty obvious he's been gunning for this game, right? I mean, he sat out a game so he could play in this game. I'm not suggesting that it's he's looking at it as the Super Bowl like a lot of Iowa State's fans are claiming, but I do think that there was a concerted effort to make this his last game of the season.
Oh yeah, he's looking at, well, Cal Poly,
yeah,
Cal Poly, like, yeah, and shut it down after Minnesota, or do I sit out against Cal Poly and shut it down against Iowa State? Certainly, there is a little bit of gamesmanship involved there with Jordan and his decision. And again, you can vote in the poll question at kgymradio.com. Iowa is going to have to figure out a way to keep Lindell Wigginton in check. You watch him on Sunday night against Seton Hall. That's a funky shot. I don't know how he is as successful with that shot as he is, but man, when he starts draining them. George Condit, I think, with 17 off the bench on Sunday night, gives Iowa State another option as well. We chatted with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, yesterday on the program, and he mentioned the fact that it's going to be sort of mix and match with those big men on Luka Garza. Iowa State, again, I anticipate being about a five-point favorite at Hilton Coliseum. I am not a professional odds maker. I'm not even an amateur odds maker, but just off the top of my head, I think Iowa State's probably a better team, and with home court advantage, they should get that nod from the odds makers. 319-366-1600. Quickly, before we take our final break, we mentioned UNI Colorado tonight. That is a stiff test for the Panthers heading to Boulder to take on Colorado. The Buffaloes, about a seven-point favorite, I think, the last time that I checked the line. Maybe it was eight. You and I got a chance tonight?
I think they can hang in there. I think Colorado is a talented team, but they're not necessarily one that's going to run up 80, 90 points, and they're not a good three-point shooting team. Now, Tyler Bay is one of their top players who's looking to be a mid-first-round pick next year in the NBA draft. McKinley Wright is one of their leading scorers as well at the guard position. They're an athletic team. They're definitely going to have the athletic advantage in this contest, but UNI plays at that pace, and I'm not sure that Colorado is a team that is going to be able to run away offensively against a team like UNI. I'm looking for a game in the 60s, and UNI in the second half, hopefully about halfway through the second half, is within striking distance. I think that's very possible.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And a reminder that if you join us again tomorrow on Wednesday's show, we'll have an opportunity for you to take home a $50 gift certificate, a little extra something to stuff in someone's stocking this holiday season from Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, the sponsor for the text line. And we'll give that away sometime between the hours of 4 and 7 tomorrow. If you tune into the gym class with Scott and Mark, they're going to give you a chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's. And we will be back at Mulligan's, I believe, next week for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com before things get completely crazy with the holiday season and bowl season. 6:46, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will put the finishing touches on a Tuesday edition of the show when we return after this.
They deserve a gift of jewelry this holiday season, and you deserve to save. So find something beautiful at Siegel's. Save 30 to 70% over retail store prices and choose from a huge selection of new and estate jewelry. Siegel's staff doesn't work on commission. Their only purpose is to help you select the perfect Christmas gift. So find just the thing and save at Siegel's in Cedar Rapids, First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-7517. That's 800-510-7517. Call now. 800-510-7517.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Did you know the arrow on Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. So here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It ain't rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
And at 6:49, we welcome you in as we get ready to close up shop on a blustery and cold Tuesday evening. Probably makes it a lot easier to dream of attending the Holiday Bowl in San Diego if you're a Hawkeye fan, or the Camping World Bowl in Orlando if you're an Iowa State fan. Those bowl trips starting to fill up. I booked my travel earlier today. I'll be heading down to San Diego in a couple weeks to see the Trojans and the Hawkeyes, bringing back as much coverage as I can for KGY. We will, of course, have a special pre-Holiday Bowl edition of Before the Boom airing on our airwaves. Make sure you're checking out KGYMradio.com in the coming weeks with our broadcast schedule, especially around the holidays. We tend to sometimes step aside from local programming to bring you the bowl lineups each day. We'll see just exactly what we have in store for you between Christmas and New Year's Day, but we'll definitely have you covered for the Holiday Bowl and the Camping World Bowl, even though the Camping World Bowl is played on a Saturday. Makes it a little bit difficult to get into on local programming. Not much going on, not much breaking news, I should say, at the moment from the winter meetings in San Diego, although it looks like the trade market for Nomar Mazara of the Texas Rangers could be heating up. A number of teams, including the Chicago White Sox, reportedly kicking the tires. Steele Walker, who's one of Chicago's top outfield prospects, not named Luis Robert, is rumored to be a possible trade ship there. Nomar Mazara seems like he's been around forever. He's only, I think, 23, 24 years old. So be an interesting addition to a team that's looking to take that next step in a rebuild like the Chicago White Sox are. Nothing new on the Chris Bryant front either. We discussed that at 5:30 tonight. If you missed our winter meetings chat, you can download the podcast at kgymradio.com. We're going to be touching base this week with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, putting a big bow on Thursday's edition of the program, finishing up coverage of the winter meetings, which will wrap up this week in San Diego. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Make sure if you missed Tristan Cockcroft today that you join the gym class tomorrow. Scott and Mark will have an opportunity for you to get some last-minute fantasy football advice from Chris Liss of rotowire.com. Tristan normally joins us on Wednesdays, but we moved him to today to accommodate a family holiday program. I believe his daughter's holiday program is tomorrow. So Chris Liss of rotowire.com with Scott and Mark tomorrow will help you set your fantasy football lineups this week if you are still playing and did not get jobbed out of the playoffs by a Zach Ertz overtime touchdown reception. It's my fault. I should have had Emmanuel Sanders and his 32 points in the lineup, but I'm so stacked at wide receiver, and I certainly didn't see the highest scoring NFL game of the season breaking out. What was it, 48-46 between the Niners and the Saints?
Yes.
It went to an NFL game and a track meet, turned out. George Kittle, very impressive in that performance. Final minute here as we wrap up. A big thank you, as always, to Spencer on the other side of the glass. Another quiet night for him. You know, like he's kryptonite or something for phone calls. And we got plenty of texts, as always, but Spencer had a very quiet night. All he did was pick up the phone and hand out a $50 gift certificate to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City, and we expect that he'll be looking forward to doing that again with us tomorrow on the program. Iowa and Iowa State on the women's hardwood in Ames. We'll preview it with Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen and the Des Moines Register. And wager-wise, coming your way, Gary Rime, a play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. We've got high school basketball on tap tonight, 7:30, all three frequencies. Back with you tomorrow. Local programming returns at 3 o'clock.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems.